All right. Welcome to episode 234 of the Linux Lugcast. We're an open podcast / lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. We encourage anyone listening to join us and participate on the podcast. You can check out linuxlugcast.com for the server details. We record using Mumble. We've tried, just said, I don't know why I'm kind of going off the cuff there. If you have any questions, comments, and topics you'd like to discuss and are unable to join us live during the show, you can send us an email at feedback@linuxlugcast.com. We have a Lemmy page where we kind of post things that we find interesting and usually wind up getting talked on the show. We have a community, Matrix community, where we talk about all sorts of things. And you can find a visual version of this at both YouTube and PeerTube. Links for all these are both in the show notes and on linuxlugcast.com. I'm your host of this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight is Joe.
Hello.
Lovecraft.
Good evening, everyone.
Lugbot.
Hello, fart sex.
That's not nice at all.
Minix.
Hello.
And Netminer.
Hello.
Now you can go eat, Joe.
Awesome. Go away. We are done with you. What are we, 234? Did I say 234?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, if not, then it's actually, then it's 234. If it so, then I did it great the first time.
Yeah. Let's go back and listen to the tape real quick.
Yeah, hold on. So, I have not been doing anything interesting. I have been procrastinating like crazy. I need to reset up Audio Bookshelf, and at the end of the podcast tonight, when I finish up the recording, I'm probably going to try and test the the audio stream, test butt out for the audio stream to make sure it still works and make sure the audio works with that. But I can't right now because it is now set up for a different IP address than I need it to be. So, that being said, has anybody else been actually doing anything interesting?
Yeah. I've been having lots of technology used on me. Lots of medical tests and stuff like that, MRI machines, CT scans, and that was pretty fun, kind of interesting, being in those tiny tubes, like an inch from my nose for like 2 hours.
And is it seriously like an inch from your nose for 2 hours?
Well, one of them I had was for 2.5 hours, and I was squeezed in a tiny tube, and it was about this far from my nose. And I'm touching all around, you know, and I'm just like, have you ever had one?
No.
And like, and not, no part of my body is outside of the tube. It was crazy.
An MRI?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily claustrophobic, but I think after like
I'm not either.
10 minutes
you need
in
to,
there,
you need to get, I would they just... need to get the adults to have the children's one, because the children one plays videos and movies.
Oh.
See, I didn't have a screen or anything. Actually, I had to wear headphones, but they didn't play any music. It was just this lady talking to me, telling me, breathe in, okay, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And she was like...
Reminding you to breathe?
Well, no, I just wanted to do these different tests for the scans and stuff. But anyway, but that has nothing
brain.
To do
She's
with
She's not
anything.
Allowed to wear anything.
So make sure you take a piss before you get in there, because you don't want to piss your pants.
And it's cold. And it's freaking cold in there. Yeah,
and you have to wear a dress. But as far as like technology stuff, I haven't really done too much. Oh, I found a switch at work. It's a 10 gigabit switch. And they just gave it to me.
Nice.
Because we have a new contract with another vendor or whatever. But I don't have any other NICs in my house that are over 1 gigabit, so I'm not going to really see any benefit from it, you know?
Well, do you have anything even else? Not that you put everything onto Proxmox, do you have any other wired network things set up?
Well, I mean, my Proxmox server is, you know, is hooked up to the, you know, via LAN cable or whatever, Ethernet, Cat
sure.
Five,
so you're
but that 10
port
is
switch
only
with one thing out there.
Yeah, that server is only 1 gigabit. So I mean that NIC on the Proxmox server, even though it's a 13-gen or 12-gen. I don't know. But that's only 1 gigabit. So now my router is 2.5 gigabits. It's a good router, and the switch is 10 gigabits. And I don't have any computers that are over 1 gigabit. So maybe in the future, we'll see. I'll upload my... Or what do you even upgrade have? My network.
What other like wired computers or wired things do you even have? Whether it's gigabit or not.
I got the backup server. That would be great to have on a 10 gigabit network, because that takes a while to back up stuff and to restore stuff when I have to. I got the Proxmox server. I got the proxy server. I got...
Are you still running NPM on
that little mini computer, mini PC?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got, that little Radshaw Zero that looks like a Raspberry Pi Zero, but it's more faster. That one's running OpenELEC. And I have that plugged into an adapter that goes from USB-C to Ethernet, because the Wi-Fi is not as quick. And
that one's running super fast.
And then I have a bunch of like other devices that are just not really computers, like TVs and soundbar and stuff like that, plugged into the to the switch. Oh, I got that little router too, that Xiaomi Mi Mini or whatever that we talked about last time. Remember?
All right.
And that's what all my IoT stuff connects to, because that's blacklisted from the internet. It just goes straight to my home assistant, VM and Proxmox. So, but yeah, I mean, I can't really, it sucks because I can't really benefit from the switch without having, Morrissey just posted. I think he's posting his internet speed. Oh, very nice. He's got 0.5 gigabit.
Nice.
Did I go too cheap? That was the lowest speed for the condo.
Really? That's the lowest speed?
That's the slowest that we could get, yes.
Wow.
Very nice.
It's twice as fast.
I'm glad you could join us.
Yes, I tried to play earlier, but the rooms weren't working.
Oh, really?
Or Mumble wasn't working or something, I don't know.
Well, now it's working. Oh, so that's pretty good for cheap. I have gigabit internet, but it's not really cheap. It's through AT&T. Still costs me like $75 a month. So, anyway, as far as technology, that's about it.
What do you have for your IoT stuff?
It's that Xiaomi Wii Mini router. Remember?
No, I meant what IoT devices do you have set up?
Oh, I got a ton of smart plugs, these inline circuit breakers that you hook up a plug and you have to cut a wire in half and hook one side up to the other side up to it, and they're real cheap, like $5. But I got a lot of smart plugs that I bought during Black Friday a few years ago. I have my
which type of smart plugs did you get?
Let's see, they're just some generic Chinese brand. They're called GoSund.
Those when you reflashed
GoSund? These already had these already had the ESP8266 microcontroller in them, so I could use them with Tasmota. The ones that I reflashed here, I'll hold it up, is called G-Homa. I don't know if you've ever seen that brand. But what's good about these is they're 15 amps. So you can use them for stuff like your 3D printer and stuff if you want an emergency cutoff, you know. These are the ones I have to reflash. And but they run all kinds of stuff. They run my lights. They run my my CO2 tank for my aquarium. They run my fans in my bedroom. Because I'm too lazy to get up and turn them on and off, but I have my phone there.
I got it.
All right, and then I have those cameras, the Wyze cameras, are hooked up to that little router too, because Wyze is a shitty company that's always getting fucking hacked and leaking user information, so they don't get access to the internet. And then what else do? Oh, I have, now that it's getting colder, I have a little radiator. That, you know, the kind on casters that you can just kind of roll around from room to room.
Yep.
Little oil-filled radiator. I got that hooked up to one of those, which is cool because I can turn it off and on without, you know, turn it on before I get home if it's real cold outside. And, just stuff like that. Little stuff, you know, nothing major. But, you know, it turns my lights on when I get, you know, right before I come home. And so, now what is this, Mortensen? By the way, if you want to be privy to the special information we're getting from Mortensen, you should join our Matrix room, and all the details are on the website. $17? Wow.
Yeah, that's the price of that 500 down and up.
Damn, they got 2 gigabit speed?
Yep.
We don't even have that in my area, unless you get like a special business line. That's has to be especially installed, you know.
When I got here, they I did the speed test on my phone, and I was only getting 22 down and 1.2 up, and I was like, "There's something wrong." And we went to the phone company, and they were like, "Just reset it." They're like, "Nope, you should get more than that. Just push the reset button on the back." And yep, it fixed it.
Really?
Wow.
Okay, okay, so Mortensen posted a picture. $1,399 baht, which is how much money? What's the exchange rate? Well, I'll just look it up.
$52.
So for $52, oh, it's okay, about 35 baht per dollar. So for $52, you can get 2 gigabit down, half gigabit up. You get a mesh Wi-Fi kit. You get a TV box and up to 24 months of true. What is it? That must be some kind of like TV show.
TV show.
I think it's streaming services. Yeah.
Streaming services. Up to 24. So 2 years. Worth up TP. I don't think that's kind of like Chinglish a little bit, but anyway, for $52 here, if you want 2 gigabit, you have to pay like a commercial rate for like a business. So right. That means they actually have to run the line to your place, and no telling. And the install fee is only, let's see, what does it say, $8.90. So that's
20 bucks.
Yeah, 25 bucks. Here it's like $99. The U.S. should be ashamed of itself. You know what? Yep. How far behind we are compared to other countries when it comes to internet service.
Comes to internet service.
Come on, we're
battlefront service.
We couldn't be lower than 47th in the world.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I'm still waiting for medical, man. I would like to be able to afford my prescriptions.
Like when I was in Thailand, I brought a burner phone with me that was unlocked that I bought from T-Mobile for 50 bucks, and now this was a few years ago, but I got a SIM card, unlimited data. I forgot, you know, however many minutes. It was super fast. At the time, there was only 4G, not 5G. And it was like, I mean, you know, around 20 bucks a month, something like that. It was crazy how cheap it was.
Yeah, that may have been the capped unlimited. The unlimited uh-huh. cost me 50.
Oh, does it?
So I have,
okay. Oh, does it? Okay.
I have the Galaxy tablet that I bought her last year.
Uh-huh.
He went and set up the SIM card with the new phone number and unlimited access on a 3-month plan. It might have been $50 for the 3 months. I'll have to ask her about that.
Probably was.
But yeah, I carry it around as a Wi-Fi hotspot so I can use my U.S. phones and Google Maps and so I can get around.
So yeah, 35 baht to a dollar is the exchange rate. So you can just kind of look at that and see how much everything is. Pretty damn good. So are you unpacked and everything and settled in?
Yeah. TSA or the airport broke one of the wheels on one of my luggage. But I just have one drawer that has my shirts and pants, and I didn't bring much with me. I only had brought two pairs of pants and ripped one of them the first day. So,
did you go out to eat and the food was just so good and your pants just busted open?
No, I tore the knee. It's a pair that I had repaired here last year, and it ripped above where they fixed it last year.
Well, clothes are so cheap there. I mean, you don't even need to really carry much with you from home, you know? The only thing is, I had problem finding stuff that fit me that looked good, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's smaller than me.
Yeah, because I'm 6'1", 225, so getting a double or triple XL t-shirt and it's still being like tied on my shoulders. It's a really weird experience, you know.
Get the XL fit. I bought a Ganesh t-shirt. I bought a Dragon t-shirt for my goddaughter. I bought two pairs of Levi's. They ended up being almost $100 a pair.
Yeah. That is the bad thing about being there is like if you want some kind of luxury or American brand, be expected to pay out the butt for it because those import taxes are not cheap.
Well, the outlet mall last year, I bought one pair and it was like $25. And I went back to go buy more and they didn't have the ones that I bought the first time. And I bought a couple pairs of other ones. And they ended up being that stretchy material and I hate that. Right. But second time they ended up being like $60 a pair. $50 a pair.
See, that's when we went to Thailand last time, that's what we were advised to go to the outlet malls here, buy as many high value items as we could if we found good deals, and then my friends and their families in Thailand happily bought them for like two or three times what we paid for them, and I was like, yeah. That helped pay for like my food bill and you know tours and stuff like that. So, but if you don't need luxury brands and you don't need American style food and you don't need to drive a Chevrolet pickup, you can live super cheap there.
Yeah, so I do spend a lot on food, but not comparable to the U.S.
Yeah, if you can learn to live like a Thai, then that's the way to do it.
Yeah, you can live like what, $5,000 a year or something.
Yeah. I don't know, everybody left. Joe left, Tonky left. I guess Netminer's still here. There's Honky.
Oh, he's back.
Okay.
I just had to make some more tea.
Oh.
I'm still listening.
We did good. We went to the Persian restaurant again and then found out it was like half a block from the that Hindu temple that she took me to last year. And I found a Brazilian and Argentinian steakhouse.
No way, took her to.
She about shit a brick when the bill came. She couldn't believe how much it was.
They're not. So are they just as expensive there as they are in the States?
Yeah. It was about $50 a piece.
A little bit less than here, actually.
A little less, but not much. I had a carafe of wine. It was definitely a whole bottle. the Persian place is great. We're going to Patia tonight, probably.
Well, I'm glad y'all could join us tonight.
All right.
I got on the train, and she told me the SkyTrain here. She goes, yeah, it's just right down the street. And so I couldn't find it on Google Maps and asked somebody on the street. I thought I'd walked too far. I was like, I thought she said it was right about here. I was like, well, here's one 7-Eleven, but there's another 7-Eleven. And I asked somebody on the street, and he pointed me way down the road, 6.5 kilometers.
Oh, my God.
I was like, well, that's what Google's telling me, too. And I was like, let's cross the street, my ass. So I start walking. I get partially there, and I find a cab. And I was like, I'm paying for a cab. So the cab was $2. And then I had to figure out how to get a rabbit load money and then went around a couple places. I bought my jeans. Met Anna, if you see her on the blog. Lady boy. I met a Chinese girl on the train coming home. She was fake butterfly tattoos all over. I didn't get it. I should have gotten a picture of her. And then, and so then when I got off the train station, I walked home. So it's almost 7 kilometers, except Google took me the wrong direction through not a village, but like a poor neighborhood. And there was no way out of it, so I had to turn back around. I thought I was going to die. It was 96 degrees, and I'm not up for walking over 10 kilometers in a day. That was way too much. Last Sunday, at a Jack Market.
I was going to ask you, are you going to jump on the New Year's show?
It depends where we're at on New Year's, but I'll probably, at a minimum, in the car, I'll jump in.
I meant to bring this up last time. Save this post. So I'm in this community called Privacy on Lemmy, and they just post like stuff privacy-oriented, like technology and stuff like that. And this guy posted this. Maybe I should just read it. And to me, it's insane. Like, is this even a real story, you know? So he says, I'm questioning my stance on social media. I don't want to say his username or anything, but I'm questioning my stance on social media. It's Joe, by the way, so just so you know. I'm questioning my stance on social media. Recently, I started talking to a girl on a dating site. Let me know if any of you guys have gone this far, is what I want to ask. I started talking to a girl on a dating site, and after a few days of talking today, she asked for my Instagram ID. I don't have an active Instagram account because I hate their data hoarding practices. For nearly 6 years now, our privacy, which is on Reddit, has been stuffing into my brain that Instagram is inherently bad for privacy. So I avoided it. Now, coming back to the situation, I remembered that I created a burner account long back and I hastily reactivated it. It had 0 followers, no name, no bio, and was set to private. I changed the username, followed some random accounts, and gave this Instagram account to that girl. And while sharing my ID, I made up a story that I deactivated my account several months ago and reactivated only recently, and my followers vanished due to deactivation. She immediately got weird about it and asked whether I still used the account, to which I replied yes, and then she asked if I had any posts on that account. Luckily, I posted some old shit posts and memes on the account and had a couple of story highlights. She softened her guard now and gave me a follow request. After going through my account, she got somewhat reassured that I was a real person and was not a bot. This has got me questioning my stance on social media apps, like whether I should follow such a stringent no-no policy or should I follow a lax approach. Last year, the Clubhouse app was getting popular and every single one of my friends created accounts and hopped onto chat rooms, but I didn't even install it solely because of my privacy philosophy. By the way, this is not RMS that's typing this. This is just some random. I don't think it is anyway. So
you couldn't convince me RMS had a throwaway Instagram.
So these communities, R privacy and C privacy, made me really extreme on privacy over time, and it makes me paranoid and I hate social media more and more over time, and also makes me antisocial. So he goes on to say he was on Facebook and he was a social butterfly and he had a ton of friends online, and then all of a sudden he started to try to clean up his digital footprint. And he got rid of his Instagram, Snapchat, Discord, and he said, but it cut him off from all of his friends, including during the prime years of his age when he needed friends and relationships at that age. Says, we all know that having a social life is essential for dating, and that social life also includes the use of social media apps, but my extreme takes on privacy disturbs all of this. Like, I change all of my usernames and passwords every 3 months. This kind of practice is seen as weird and extreme by many. In my honest opinion, I think that a user should draw a line. Also, the woman I was talking to eventually got weirded out by me lecturing to her about privacy and why my Instagram looked the way it did and how come I do not have a Facebook. And also she said that it doesn't seem like I am a normal person, and that I was kind of creeping her out. After a while, I texted her again and again and then never received a response. So she kind of got he ghosted him over this. Do you think he was too extreme? Or, for yes. One thing, here's what I would say. If she asked me, what the hell? What happened to your fucking beard? That's crazy.
Right in the middle of it. Just
did Joe absorb your beard too, like you did all of ours?
Well, he definitely absorbed your mustache. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Either that or you went over there and shaved it.
Yeah. So did you shave it before or after you left?
I've been slowly shaving it. Do you see the Zappa?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I really hated that.
You should have done it like the
you should have done it.
I almost did. I shaved the sideburns off and you know just had the mustache and goatee, and then I did the Zappa. He wanted me to shave the mustache.
Did you do the Hitler? No.
That's what I told him. I called Charlie Chaplin. I don't know why you got to say that. Say it like
because
that.
Charlie Chaplin was pretending to be Adolf Hitler when he did that.
No, it was the other way around. You're just fixated on Hitler all the time, so you had to say it like that. Anyway.
Really crazy younger man. Yeah.
And then she gave up. I was like, after the new year. And then she was like, whatever. this year I said, I'll shave it. And she said, please. And now she's like, grow it back.
Really? Wow. You do look way younger without it.
Yeah, she's not happy. Girls have been talking to me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I had lunch with a girl a couple days ago when I was out. I went to one of the malls near here to eat and just look around shopping. Definitely not fond of the malls, other than the air conditioning. That's really nice. The one mall is half Japanese, so they've got all the little vending machines and stuff. And it's really awesome seeing all the stuff out of vending machines.
That is cool. Anyway, that just shocked me when you jumped on the camera. I broke my train of thought, and I like lost all sense of where I'm even at now because it's just not used to seeing you without a beard and a mustache.
Anyway, right, so back to RMS trying to date.
Yeah. So why didn't this guy? Here's what I would have said, because I really don't have one. I would have said I don't have. Oh, is that? It's a Red Bull.
So Red Bull. So Red Bull is from Thailand, right?
Yes, yes. And this is apple and muscata grape Red Bull, and it's sugar-free. And I usually hate sugar-free. This is delicious. They have, a pineapple grapefruit, too. I found one can. I can't find cases of it. But she bought me Red Bull this year.
Nice.
If you find cases, send me a case. Or let me know how much it is to send me a case.
$1 a piece.
So,
I brought a case of Liquid Death and a little more than a case of Liquid Death for her to try, and the Brazilian Guarana soda.
Yeah, I finally tried Severed Lime, and it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it.
I didn't think much of the teas.
Right? I didn't think much.
But the Severed Lime was really good.
The Harmless Palmer?
Yeah,
that's the lemonade and tea, right?
Yeah, that one's good. I like that one.
So anyway, why did this dude just say, I don't have an Instagram? That's all he had to say instead of going through this crazy routine of trying to make a fake Instagram.
Well, I understand trying to make sure he's not a bot, because you try to do something to prove that you're a human or whatever. But at the same time,
I barely use my Facebook. I do have a Discord, but
you don't need to preach your policies and stuff to the person constantly, not to the point of scaring them away.
I have my 7 or 8 year old phone that's for social media stuff, and I don't put stuff on my current phones.
That's a good idea.
But I do have stuff on there. I don't want any social media breaches to be connected to my phone that has my bank account and my dual factor authentication.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well,
my wife uses Messenger to contact me. My grandma uses Facebook to see pictures of the family, et cetera, et cetera, and to post about, Trump. But, yeah. So I am going to have a Facebook, and then...
do you guys think that scene is weird now not to have social media, or
depending on
everybody else thinks it's very weird?
Yeah,
I guess depending on your age. I mean, I think I've set up a Twitter account, couple of Twitter accounts, because when I was running for that campaign, and then there's sometimes where if you want to see certain videos, you have to have a Twitter account or a Twitch account. So I probably have those. I just never actually use them. And then probably the same with Instagram. I might have an Instagram. I'd have to go check.
Facebook bought them. All you have to do is activate it.
Right. I do have an Instagram account.
So I have a Facebook and a Twitter account, but I don't even... Like Facebook, I posted one thing in the entire time that I've had it. I mostly go on there to try to see pictures of my family and stuff. But I mean, now because everyone has moved to something else, I don't see shit on there. So I go on there maybe once a month, really. But I mean, the way I looked at most social media things is you got to follow the guidelines of garbage in, garbage out. You can filter the shit that you're seeing by only following certain things and certain people and keeping it private. And as long as you're not, friend requesting or friending absolutely everybody who sends you a fucking request. I mean, my friends list on Facebook is probably less than 12, just because I've resolved to, I'm not being friends with anybody from work, only people who are actually friends, and then family, and that's it. So, I mean, I follow Fweeb.
Well, on Facebook, I have a lot of friends. Like, I say a lot. For me, it's a lot. Like, I think 200. But that's family, that's old Army buddies, that's everybody that friended me when I was doing the campaign, and work friends, et cetera, et cetera.
See, I don't allow work friends or anything. And I wouldn't, unless it's a person who I actually want to see, the whole idea was to stay close to people from family or friends that I don't get to see as often. People I work with, I see them all the time. I don't want to be friends with them on Facebook. I don't give a shit about their opinions.
There's a lot of people that I work at the same company with that I don't work with, that I'm friends with. So I don't, like, go out and friend people that are on my team because I'm supposed to be, you know, a leader to them. And but, you know, somebody on another team that I like to go and hang out with, get invited to their weddings and stuff, yeah, I'm friends with them on Facebook. So...
Now, do you scroll through Facebook or just use the marketplace?
Just the marketplace and Messenger.
See, I have a Facebook account solely for the marketplace, just because I like to browse for deals on there. But I don't, you know, I never even look at the main account or whatever. I don't know what's going on there.
I do once in a while, but it's like once a month I'll scroll through and see if anything interesting has happened to any of the people that I used to know.
But see, now at my age, it's not a big deal not to be active on social media. Now this guy, he's probably in his 20s or something, you know, and so that is a big deal, you know, for him and his social group and crowd and stuff. And so I can understand, like...
Well... But I feel like we need to break down what some of the privacy concerns are. Because I think there's a lot of people who go on and on about their privacy concerns. And I think some of it is people are just posting way too much shit. You know, you don't need to post absolutely everything about yourself. And then it obviously, when you're doing that, it's all out there in the public.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I stopped using Facebook near as much in 2015.
What happened then?
Trump was running for president.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think a lot of people stopped using it.
Facebook got so ugly with all the posts and all the political garbage that was going on at the time. I got so tired of it, I just turned it off.
Yeah.
20-year-old relatives use Facebook, and it's the only way to get a hold of them.
I don't know if you heard that.
I feel like some of the privacy concerns is mostly geared towards when you post stuff, it's out there for people to see, so don't be stupid and post, you know, everything about your life on Facebook. You know, that should be your privacy concern, is you posting too much shit.
You don't think it should be about corporations vacuuming up your data?
But what is it? What part of your data are they vacuuming up? If you don't put anything out there that's worth catching, then what the hell is then what data are you worried about them picking up?
That I'm glad you asked that question, because that leads into this topic. It's a story.
Segue.
It's a story that just freaking blew up on quote unquote social media, I guess, the Fediverse. It's on Limmy. I put it on Limmy, and then everybody started talking.
There's
about
links.
It.
Yeah. There's links everywhere because you're on the same device. It links back to everything.
So this came out, and it's like everybody's talking to it. I put the link in the show notes. It says marketing company claims that it actually is listening to your phone and smart speakers to target you with ads. So it's finally come out as official that this is happening. When everybody had these like feelings, you know, all these weird coincidences that you would be talking about something and then
right.
all of a sudden ad appeared on your phone
right.
and whatnot.
Right.
Well, or I try to use Shazam and it says, "We're sorry, your microphone's already in use."
Yes, like that.
Well, so in 2012.
About Coachava and FTC. I will post this link. FTC sues Coachava for selling data that tracks people at reproductive health clinics, places of worship, and other sensitive locations. It's truly astounding the amount of data that this place was collecting and selling on. Just like everything you could possibly do. Like people could literally use it to stalk you if they wanted to. And the state of Texas could use it to see if you were pregnant or not and got an abortion.
So
the bounty hunter laws.
This isn't just any just random marketing company. This is part of Cox Media Group. I don't know if you know who Cox is. Cox Cable. And they are huge, freaking huge. And it says,
they have claimed it has the ability to listen to ambient conversations. This marketing team is saying this. Ambient conversations of consumers through embedded microphones and smartphones, smart TVs, and other devices to gather data and use it to target ads. According to CMG Cox Media Group marketing materials, it says the news signals that what a huge swath of the public has believed for years, that smartphones are listening to people in order to deliver ads, may finally be reality in certain situations. Until now, there was no evidence that such a capability actually existed, but its myth permeated due to how sophisticated other ad tracking methods have become. So I guess this is kind of like a smoking gun, you know?
Well, the problem isn't the problem isn't social media. The problem is this.
Well, that's
where it is. Yeah. That's the microphone. That's the thing that's collecting all the data right there.
But who hires these marketing teams? You know, Facebook probably does.
Amazon needs to is Google.
Amazon.
Well, yeah, Google. The people who created this.
Alphabet. Alphabet overlords.
They're the ones collecting the data. They're the ones controlling the mic. They're the ones collecting the data, and they're the ones selling it out to other people.
This is where the problem is right here.
I don't think this is a smoking gun, but there's been several over the years. There's been three or four of the television companies have gotten in trouble for listening to customers live and not having it in their end user license agreement. And then they add it in, and then you don't have to talk about it. Apple had a way to monitor.
Roombas?
Apple had a way to monitor the laptops and Emacs that students were using at home.
IMacs.
They were watching kids in their home, in their bedrooms, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and, weren't there Chromebooks doing that too?
I didn't hear about the Chromebooks, but I would assume yes. But the light on the camera feature when it's on and stuff can be turned off while the camera's on.
Wasn't it almost 10 years ago, sometime between now and like 10 years ago, that somebody from Roomba got in trouble for making a meme out of a video that one of the little mobile vacuums took of someone in the bathroom?
Maybe.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that's why I always go for the off-brand ones, because the off-brand ones are stupid. They don't, you know, they're not hooked up to any smart app or whatever. They just kind of bounce around the room. Their whole thing is they go keep going until they run into something, and then they just turn around and just keep going around. Their thing is just keep going until they catch everything just by, you know, the fact that they keep moving.
Okay, yes, I was right. A Roomba recorded a woman on the toilet. How did screenshots end up on Facebook?
Oh, remember we had that story about the security alarm company that...
Oh, that's right.
They were spying on people. It said that the technology CMG uses is called active listening. With active listening, CMG claims to be able to target your advertising to the exact people you are looking for. The goal is to target potential clients or customers based on what they say in their day-to-day conversation, the website adds. Specifically, those could include the car lease ends in a month. We need a plan. These are examples. A minivan would be perfect for us. Do I see mold on the ceiling? We need to get serious about planning for retirement. This AC is on its last leg. We need a better mortgage rate. I did a search for cancer.
And everything on every device I had, I'm bombarded with cancer stuff.
Mm-hmm. Clients can claim a territory where they want to use the active listening service, which are available in a 10 or 20 mile radius. After setup, active listening begins and is analyzed via AI to detect pertinent conversations via smartphones, smart TVs, and other devices. CMG also claims it installs a tracking pixel on its client's website to monitor the return on investment, ROI.
So let's take this a little bit further. So their whole purpose is to push advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
So out of your personal experience, how many times do you think the advertising around you, whether it's television, however you wind up seeing any form of an advertisement at all, It wouldn't be television. It would be whatever, at Google Ads or whatever. Actually, most of this group probably using ad blockers, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, but go ahead and make your point. The people that, my point is, how many times have you has there being an ad in something affected what your choice to do something ever?
Almost never. Almost right. Never.
I'm sure it has happened, but I just can't think of. I mean, like, especially when I'm hungry, I may see ads for, you know, restaurants or certain foods or something, but that doesn't guarantee I'm going to go to that restaurant. And this means I'm going to get out of my house and go get something to eat. You know?
But I can guarantee you that even if something did pop up that gave me an idea about something that I needed, yeah, I have the exact same thing. Pie hole. Yeah, I got one set up. But if an ad did pop up and it was something that I ended up thinking that I needed, I promise you I did not click on that ad.
Right.
No, I've never actually clicked on an ad.
I never clicked on an ad on a website ever. I've never ever. Like,
it's because we're paranoid.
Right.
But
well, we grew up in the age where you'd never click on an ad anywhere.
Yeah,
you because that drives you down bad rabbit holes.
Right, exactly.
Either that or you get rickrolled.
Pop-ups. Yeah, we grew up in the age of pop-ups. We just no.
Or you in the rickroll, you wouldn't Bonzi buddy on your desktop.
Yeah.
You couldn't close the rickroll. It just kept playing.
And you don't know how it got there. And then all of a sudden you got all these weird toolbars everywhere. What
right. The fucking toolbars.
You can't even see a web page because you've got all toolbars from top to bottom.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't say it's like directly influenced my purchase, but I can see it driving me towards that category of product selling. Maybe not that brand of product. But the category, like, oh, yeah, I guess I do need more laundry detergent or something. And
but that's a laundry detergent.
This is the point I'm making. So I put this thing in my head. Well, yeah, I remember I need more detergent. So I go to the store, and maybe there's a 1% chance that I'm going to buy their brand because I'm going to buy a detergent anyway. I think that's more how it works than buying the specific brand that they're advertising, just getting you to buy that category of product, and there may be a chance that you buy their brand of that product.
Well, something like that is more of a necessity than it is anything. You're going to buy detergent because you need to wash your fucking clothes, because we're not animals who just throw our clothes away and buy new ones each time.
Yeah, but am I going to necessarily buy Tide Pod detergent, which they're trying to sell me, you know?
Most people usually find like one brand and then just kind of stick with it out of habit.
Yeah.
Look, I don't all know that you buy the flavored Tide Pod.
I do buy Tide Pods.
It's delicious.
Tide Pod.
It's delicious, all right? Goes down smooth. Just a little
bit. Before we get too far off track, let me just say this. you are right about it's the device itself, right? It's not doesn't really have much to do with social media or anything, but I will say that social media is a way to advertise to you, and so
it's also that's just a vector another of outlet. Attack.
I mean,
you know, if your information is on there, obviously, if they have a breach, it can be got.
Well, that if you're one of those people who posts a bunch of crap, then you're just throwing yourself out there for. I mean, if you find somebody and you do a target on them, you could probably pull up a lot of their personal information, and a lot of people use a lot of their personal information for things like passwords. So you can throw that all into.
Police use it to know how to execute warrants.
True, they'll know your habits.
Elle's aunt and cousin want to know where I live because they want. They want to
kill you.
No, they either want to tell her I'm too good for her or tell her she's too good for me. They want to cause problems. So they know I'm in Westerville, Ohio because of Facebook. By going through my friends' pages and stuff, they have found information about me, and I'm right. Like, what?
Right.
But yeah, with the limited amount of stuff I post, they're trying to find a picture with my house address so they can find me.
That's why you don't post stuff like that.
Because if the numbers in any of those pictures or any picture I'm tagged in, then they can search and then find houses that have that number and then look at the Google Street View to see if it's the same photo.
Yeah. Well, like Texas, it's all, you know, public information. If you rent, if you buy, if you have a phone
mortgage.
Mortgage, it's all public information that you can get to relatively easily. So even without social media, someone could track down where I live.
So people didn't believe that the phones were listening. And I would start talking about random stuff together, like wanting a cowboy shirt with octopus tentacles on it. And then the person would start getting advertisements in their Facebook feed.
Right.
They'd be like, they don't even make those.
I think I once mentioned that I was looking into maybe getting another router. And then, I didn't put it into a search engine or anything. I think I mentioned it to Jackie, and it would have been in our first, in the duplex. So it would have been a long, long time ago, like 13 years ago. And that's all I got was ads almost immediately, four routers for like weeks.
I was telling somebody about, there's a TED Talk from GWAR, from one of the members of GWAR. It's hysterical. You have to watch it. And I was like, I can't find it. I know it's somewhere. But I was talking to them about it, and it popped up in their YouTube feed.
Nice.
Well, that looks good. Oh, this is what Jackie likes to do. Here, hand me that. She likes to buy purses from, like, Goodwill. And this is a Coach purse. I don't know. They're rather expensive purses. And then refurbish them and then give them away as gifts.
But what'd she do to that one?
What did you do for refurbishing?
Hold on.
What does she do? Tell us now.
You gotta tell them how you refurbish it and how much you paid.
I was gonna see you tell me better. Okay. This was the color of the week, and that's how much I paid for it. No, you're gonna have to do it.
What do you mean, color of the week?
$15.99 Coach purse.
And it was half off. In my Goodwill, some Goodwills, most of them around here have a color of the week, and anything with a little plastic tag, or like for how you would put on the tag for clothes, the color of that is whatever, the day they receive it, it gets that punch when it makes it through. And then every week there's a different color. There's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and the clear.
Now, what did you do to this purse?
Well, I started off with having to clean the hell out of it. It wasn't that it was dirty. It was just that somebody had never taken care of it. So
what do you do to clean it?
Well, the inside I steam and then kind of vacuum it out. And sometimes use OxyClean. OxyClean. And it just depends on what color it is. If it's dark, I use the Dawn OxyClean because it tends not to move color. But if it's a lighter color, I use the... We're going to go with the dollar storage stuff, man. That stuff will bleach anything. And, like, here, if you want to show them that. That's with one coat on it.
On one side.
And so it was just really beat up and...
How did it get that color? Were they a smoker or something? Or?
No, just wear and tear. You could tell that was a site on the body that they wore it out a lot on.
Same with
the handles. Okay. So it started off that was with one coat. I use Leather Balm, which is colored dark brown, and this is three coats to get the color that it is. And then I've been taking, I like CPR leather. You can get it over at Tractor Supply. It's great for cleaning battles and stuff, shoes, purses, and it helps put a nice coat in about 24 hours, it conditions the leather and it leaves a good waterproof coat on it.
That's pretty
cool.
And
you can use it as a cleaner too. So I've got eight purses done so far this year for Christmas.
Wow.
And some of them are Coach, some of them are Donnie and Burke, some of them were Chanel. You got to go in and you got to kind of look at them and see what level they're at. And I think the most I paid for a purse there was one for me, but it was a handmade, no name purse. And I think I paid $35 for it. but I really like it. It looks like an old map case.
Cool.
And so, I mean, I have a couple of wristlets I've done. I've got a Gap purse I was just finishing up in there. I just needed the handles. They were just dirty and needed to be redone. The pouch upstairs was silk, and I needed to steam it with Q-tips, clean the spots. And then you clean up the patent leather with one part alcohol to two parts water, and then I'll reseal the patent.
Nice.
And then what I'll do is I will order purse bags and add them to, and then I will give the person the purse with some things in it that make them happy, and I try to match the colors that they like or sizes that they like.
That's pretty cool.
So, but I'm not dropping $700 on a purse,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, I don't blame you too. Yeah. So did you ever witness any ads or anything like that popping up from things you talked about, Jackie?
Yeah, just recently. I thought it was strange as hell. My mom doesn't she text messages from her phone. She doesn't use the Messenger app or anything. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me that she had ordered me some ornaments for my Christmas present from Just Ornaments. And it was the name of the company and everything. And all of a sudden it started popping up in my Facebook that I now have this ornament company ad starting to pop up.
But she texted you, she didn't actually use Messenger, right?
No, she did not use Messenger. My mom doesn't know how to use Messenger.
Yeah. Do you ever buy ebooks?
I always end up with ebook, but I'm on several like book addict groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you prefer paper books?
I do.
Yeah. Well, that's good because this next article says that ebooks are fast becoming tools of corporate surveillance as well, since we're on the privacy topic there. It says that reader surveillance, or first it says, major publishers are giving big tech free rein to watch what you read and where, including books on sensitive topics like if you check out a book on self-care after an abortion. Worse, tech and publishing corporations are gobbling up data beyond your reading habits. Today, there are no federal laws to stop them from surveilling people who read digital books across the entire internet. So if you were to get a book on, it could be anything, say being in a lesbian and family, you know, a family with two moms or something. It could be abortion care. It could be anything like that. But the thing is, there are no laws preventing these companies from selling that information to whoever is the highest bidder. It says, if you check, reader surveillance is deeply intersectional threat, especially when it comes to civil rights. Groups who are interested in anti-surveillance, anti-book bans, racial justice, reproductive justice, immigrant, and anti-monopoly. So that's just another way. If you use a Kindle, I mean, it's not really about the ebook themselves. I guess that it's about the device that you use to read your ebooks. So I guess that would be your phone as well. Is a Kindle or anything that's connected to data somehow?
Another reason not to read.
Yeah. So Jackie's doing it right. She's reading paper books and doesn't have to worry about anybody spying on her reading habits.
That's right. Just her purchasing habits of books. Mm-hmm. If she purchases them somewhere.
Sounds like she's on some book trading clubs and stuff like that. So anyway, that's the all the stuff I wanted to say about privacy and surveillance and stuff. Because I'd been holding those topics because they all came from Lemmy for a little while. So unless you guys got anything else you wanted to add to that kind of stuff. So what has Joe been working on? You never told us.
Various things. I'm working on designing, you know, a different 3D printed headset, uses less plastic than the Armadillo one, and it's a little bit, it should provide more clamping force, but right now I'm going through the design iterations to get the forks the way that I want them. And I have so many old sets of Hesh 3s that I'm using the forks for that as my base. And then later on, I'll just keep this top portion here and replace the forks with whatever headset forks work, and then I'll be able to switch things around as needed. But right now, it looks like I need to move the hole a little bit further in so it doesn't bend out too far. And then maybe I can even remove some of the plastic from there if I move it and don't screw it up. But let's be honest, I'm probably going to screw it up.
Yeah, why would you? Yeah, I mean, you've got lots of experience with this now. So.
Well, it's iterative. It's extremely iterative. If I do screw it up on this next one, then I won't screw it up on the one after that.
So you actually use your 3D printer, huh? Yeah, yeah, so all weird. The time. Such a weirdo.
You're supposed to
just let it sit on your desk and pile shit on it never even plug it in. That's how you're supposed to do it.
I 3D
supposed
printed to be like bunny treadmill. Ears for all my kids for their headphones. They absolutely love the bunny ears. I see them wearing them all the time. That's a recent print, and I had to do some redesigning on that to get that the way that I wanted it.
You're such a weirdo.
I know, I'm doing it the right way.
Every American does it.
I enjoy actually making stuff so that way I don't have to, you know, purchase it. I already told you I 3D printed. Hold on. I think I told you guys. So let me pull my backpack over here. I've been using Dex a lot at work. Because I want to. So I don't remember if I showed you guys this or not. This is a little 7-inch screen that's used for like a Raspberry Pi.
So you use Samsung on Dex at work?
Yeah. So I'm using my phone because I'm not allowed to bring in a computer of my own. So I use this, and I just I have an adapter, and it hooks right up to this. And sometimes the touch screen works, and then sometimes the touch screen doesn't. But I also have a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse combo. Well, a Bluetooth keyboard and touchpad all built together. That it took me some work to be able to get it hooked up to my phone. I guess I just had too many Bluetooth devices paired to my phone and nothing new wanted to pair correctly. Don't know how that happened. Cough, cough, so many headphones. But I had to, like, reset my entire network stack on my phone, which also wiped out, like, all my Wi-Fi and everything else. And then I was able to go back and connect the headphones that I'm still using and connect to this, and I'm able to use that directly on my phone.
So you did all this so you could play Candy Crush at work, right?
Yeah, Candy Crush at work. That's exactly why I did it. Actually, I've been using Joplin quite a bit.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
You like it?
It has its quirks. Yeah, I have one of those as well. But this one has this pretty little touchpad right here. Yeah. But no, I've been using it in conjunction with Joplin, and then also like split screening and watching some of the YouTube stuff that I like to discuss with my wife. So a lot of the political stuff I'll end up watching at work.
Now, are you syncing Joplin to anything?
Yeah, I'm using Nextcloud, and it's on all my devices. So it works out.
What are you used to using for notes?
What was it? I've used a lot of different notes, but my most recent one before this one that I used for a long time was Standard Notes. Before that, it was Simple Note. Before Simple Note, it was Evernote. Before Evernote,
did you ever use Google Keep?
No, I never did use Google Keep. I don't remember what was before. No, before Evernote, I did use OneNote, but that would have been...
Oh, yeah.
I still use OneNote for like work and stuff, and I still think that OneNote is like the best thing that, you know, Microsoft ever made. So
it is good.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like us saying that.
Look, it's the best thing that they ever made. That doesn't make it great or anything.
that's a low bar.
Yeah.
Well, I used Google Keep for a long time, and I liked it just because as long as you had a Google account, you know, you could access it anywhere.
I'm still learning all the features of Joplin. I know that Eric was telling me that, like, you could put pictures in there and stuff, and or web pages. But like
it has a lot of plugins too. You can use.
Yeah, I haven't even gone down the plugin path yet. But like, I have started using tables on there, which is something that I couldn't do with a standard note. So.
Yeah, Eric turned me on to the plugins. I didn't even realize that how many there were until he mentioned it. And there's a ton. It's a big community-driven product. But yeah, so I started using Google Keep, I think, was the first note-taking app. And then used that forever. And then I think I got Evernote on one of my phones that I had bought. It was already installed, so I just used that. And then when I installed Nextcloud, I started using Nextcloud Notes, which is good. And then I used Joplin, which to me is the best so far. Never used OneNote, though.
Standard Note is still really good. And Evernote was probably one of the best that I used until they changed their pay model and said you can only have this on X number of machines. And just the way Dropbox did, and that's when I stopped using Dropbox, and that's when I stopped using Evernote. And that's when I switched to SimpleNote, which was lacking a lot of features. And then StandardNote, I liked their encryption setup a little bit better. And then that's one of the major things that Joplin is missing, and there is not a plugin for it because I went out and looked.
Encryption?
Well, it is encrypted, but you have to decrypt everything. You can't like lock specific notes and say this requires an extra level of authentication before you can access it. Mm-hmm. So if I have it unlocked on a device, then you can access all of the notes. I'd like to be able to, you know, look away from where I'm taking notes and only have the one note that's right there available if that's the case. And then more authentication to get to whichever ones that I want locked.
Eric, do you know any way he could do that?
Sorry, man. I wasn't listening. What's he doing?
He wants to encrypt things on a note-by-note basis instead of
whole... You know, I did a cursory search on that, and I did not see a plugin, but I would be surprised if there wasn't.
I've looked, and people have specifically said that there's not.
Okay. I'm not sure why. That seems like a very common thing.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. But, yeah. So what do you do for your sync host? Where do you keep your encrypted files?
He's using Nextcloud. That's why I used to.
Nextcloud.
That's one of the nice things about it, because it was a nice thing about StandardNote that it was, you know, end-to-end encrypted. So even though it was on someone else's server, they couldn't access it. But right. this is on my stuff. This is where I say it is, and that's one of the nice things about it. So,
yeah, I'm lazy. I'm still using Dropbox because I don't have Nextcloud set up anywhere. So,
do you pay for Dropbox?
No.
So then you only have it on a desktop and your phone.
I don't use it though. The only thing I use it for, I used to use it years ago, but I don't anymore. So the only thing I use it for,
you just use it to
sync machine.
Yeah, the only thing I use Dropbox for is Joplin, which gets around the limitation.
It gets around the limitation because you're creating a what's it called?
It's an API call. I'm not using a client. If I was using a client, then it would do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you mean. There.
It's a great loophole.
Yeah. Like those Catholic girls, it's a great loophole.
Because it's encrypted.
It's pretty funny that Eric knew exactly what I was saying there.
I'm not getting into that.
Don't lie. You got into that plenty.
Their ears about. So I've been using it that way. I just saw an article like 2 days ago about some easier way than needing a whole Nextcloud instance. I don't know what it was. And self-hosting it. But yeah, I just haven't. If I could do it like on my NAS or something, like that would be good. I don't want to dedicate like a whole. I don't run a lot of server stuff at home.
I wonder if you can just host Joplin itself, like a Joplin.
Yeah, it was a
server.
Joplin server, like a backend. Oh no, it wasn't Joplin. Never mind. I was looking at running Bitwarden server host self-hosted.
Oh yeah, that's what I use.
That's what I was thinking of.
It's great. It doesn't use any resources, or barely any, anyway.
Hey, Honky's falling asleep.
He always does that this time of night.
Yeah. He hates us.
I'm listening.
Don't apologize.
No, I mean, it is late, but I am listening. I just, I don't take notes. So I'm just kind of, I'm listening, I'm paying attention, I just...
Wake up, uh-huh. Master.
So well, we always have virtual Honky here every year.
But there's always...
If we need...
Oh yeah, you've captured lots of incriminating evidence. Over here.
It doesn't take much, I'm sure.
Astroglide?
There's a virtual Honky right there. So, yeah, Joplin is great. So far it's been my favorite. And I'm biased too. I'm sure there are some out there, probably even OneNote, that does things better than Joplin, but just because, like you guys said, you can sync it to something that you self-host is a nice little positive, yeah. I think.
Yeah. I've just had good luck with it. Like I said, I started using it because I was able to export all of the stuff I had in Evernote. And so Evernote has made so many changes that I just disagree with and dislike, but we've been using it for, I looked the other day. I mean, I'm not kidding. I think we've been using it for like 15 years.
Wow.
Something ridiculous like that. Like, and I can go back and like look and trace the whole time I've been using it, like all of the goofy improvements they've made to try to monetize it because it was free to start with. And they do the same thing where like we pay for it because otherwise you can only use it on two devices. And my wife and I use it and we have like our shopping list on there and then like we're going on vacation. So we make a list for vacation. It's our way of having shared notes, that platform. But they've added so many like just dumb things to try to like monetize it or make it an enterprise solution and like all this like dumb stuff that just makes it a bad note taking app.
Do they do this thing where they limit the number of devices you can use with it?
That's okay. What I'm saying. That's the only reason I have to pay for it. Otherwise all the functionality is the same. But and it's not cheap. It's like 100 something a year or something. I mean it's a good bit of money for what it is. But so I just didn't want to use it anymore. But to get all of the stuff out, you have to install the client on Windows because it's only a Windows client, and then you export all of the stuff, and it's not even like a clean export, it's like really messy, which of course they don't want to make it easy, and then you have to get something that can convert the files and then import the file. It's a whole mess, but Joplin makes it really easy to do that. So that was my first attraction to it, was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot just simply because they're making it easy for me, they're giving me a pathway. And but since then, I mean, I've been using Joplin for a long time too, and I've seen it evolve quite a bit. And yeah, there's a pretty strong community, and the features are good. They're what I want. You know, I had an issue on my phone. I noticed last week, earlier this week actually, that it wasn't syncing for whatever reason. Like it got to a certain point and stopped, and I realized it was because I had changed my encryption password at some point because the password I'd been using I found was compromised. So I picked a better one and had to reset the data on the Android app and then put in the right password and let it synchronize. It synchronizes pretty quickly. I mean, I have 3,000 notes, something like that, and all these different notebooks and stuff, and it did it in maybe 20 minutes.
Not too bad.
Yeah, considering it has to bring it down and then decrypt it locally.
So when I was using Evernote, one of the things that, you know, I wasn't really worried about Google, but it could happen. I mean, Google is known for doing this too. But one of the things I always had to do was like copy whatever I had in Evernote to like, I think I just copied it into just a notepad or something. Because you never know. Some company is just going to go out of business and you lose all your shit and they don't tell you anything about it, you know?
Well, a lot of your note-taking tools will allow you to export a YAML.
Mm-hmm.
So or some markup language or whatever, and that will allow you to actually import it into other ones or have your own backup. So like with StandardNote, I had to decrypt it locally, and then I could export it, and then I had to run it through a specific script that I had gotten from somewhere in order to translate it into something that Joplin could then import, and then I still had to, you know, make the occasional correction.
Well, see, that was doing that all the time with Evernote. I was like copying a note, pasting it into another application, just because I was worried about what if Evernote just goes under and I lose all my freaking notes. So I had this incentive to always duplicate whatever note I made, which you shouldn't be doing, because that's the point of having a note-taking application. Maybe make a backup every month or something, but I was doing it every note. Now that I'm using Joplin, I mean, I have
it's
a backup
it
server.
Up for yeah. you, as long as your Nextcloud is backed yeah. up to more than one location, which I do make sure to do. I do have like a full copy of my Nextcloud in at least two locations.
So I have a home backup server, and then my friend's house has a mini PC.
That's what I'm missing.
Where I back it up off location once a week, every Tuesday. So
that's what I'm missing, is an offsite.
You can always leave it here if you ever get one set up.
Yeah. I could, but
yeah. I gave all those PCs back.
Yeah, you gave away all those PCs. But one of those PCs would have been perfect for it, but you just had to screw it up.
Yeah, I did. How about that? Too bad. So anyway, that's note-taking applications. That's been my journey. Eric said his journey. Joe, you said your journey of what you're using now. And Mortensen is still shocking me without a mustache or beard. It's just unbelievable.
Listen,
did you notice that hair?
Can you?
Did he
shave?
He's a beautiful man. He doesn't have to hide behind facial hair.
You're right. What is that? Oh, that's his note-taking application.
It's my note-taking app.
a literal notebook.
I must always have one in my pocket.
Love it. Love
it. Are you talking smack about my beard?
Actually,
who's taking the tea?
Mortensen is clean shaven to match a more beautiful clean shaven person.
Who's that, me?
Hell.
Oh, okay.
Does she have to shave?
Actually, I'm kind of rugged right now.
No.
That's good, because if she did, I would be suspicious. You're in Thailand after all.
No, Joe, if you ever showed up without your beard, I would be like, who is that guy? No.
Joe, did you have a beard the first time I saw you at Texas Lens
Fest? No, I had a goatee.
Okay, so I guess you've always had some kind of facial hair. Mortensen, I don't think you had. I don't remember.
Look, I am very, very, very.
Yeah.
I'll have to bring up the picture. I got it somewhere of us all standing together.
You look young.
It's very, very rare that I do not have some kind of facial hair. I look weird without facial hair.
Do you look
younger?
I
always wore a goatee, and I got tired of...
Eric, you always have some kind of stubble going on.
I can blame someone who said that I look better with stubble, and it stuck in my head, and I was like... But I like being clean shaven. I just don't like shaving all the time. I'm one of those weirdos who does safety razors. Like
I have
school.
One too. Yeah,
yeah.
And I like, used it I got for a long time until I switched to electric. But yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. No. I totally got into it. So I use the brush and the old soap and like,
oh,
the whole
you went
years.
All the way oh, with yeah. it. Yeah, the shaving soap and all that stuff.
I love it. And I shaved this morning, and my face is so smooth for like an entire day. I get like the best shave.
They're awesome. It's great. How long have you been using a safety razor?
But I started in the pandemic. It was one of the things like I had nothing. Okay. I was like, I got to do this. And honestly, I didn't shave because I hated the safety rate, like the normal, you know, like three. I use a Mach 3.
Yeah.
Which is one of the older ones, but
it gets expensive though, right?
It was expensive. They didn't last. And I really didn't like how they felt. Like they really chewed up my face. I always had razor burn.
I really liked the Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah.
They send you
yeah, razors. I got Dollar Shave Club. They send you a month's worth of razors at a time if you use a razor a week. But, you know, like, I have a backlog of razors because I basically didn't shave during the pandemic.
Because you're a Sasquatch.
except like, you know, once every couple of weeks, I trim it down some. But yeah, mostly I just didn't shave, so I didn't go through those razors very quickly. I've got a huge supply.
The safety razors are awesome because you can get a pack of 100 blades, and they'll last you for freaking ever, and they're cheap.
The disposable straight razors, too. That's what I use to trim with.
I've never used a straight razor. I'm not
Got into it, though.
It's hard to find a good one.
Yeah, they're like, you graduate up into that. Like, you can get a reasonably priced, like, Dovo and, like, different sort of razors. But then if you get into it, it's this whole thing. You can get, like, all the custom ones and, like, certain size.
$200 to $1,000 is what, if you really get into it, that's what you're going to switch to. But you can start out with a, like, $7 one and 100 disposable blades that you'll never, ever use.
Yeah,
it's like any other hobby, right? You can spend as much as you want.
Oh, you should see my closet. I have a cabinet in there that is just full. It's soaps, it's razors. So when I started, all the vintage stuff was really inexpensive. So like the old Gillette and Schick stuff from like the 20s and 30s and 40s, like all through that era. It's amazing how over-engineered and overbuilt these products were. Because I have ones that look like they're brand new. They're like 80, 60, 70, 80 years old, and they are like they never were used. And they were used. They were used by someone for years, but they just held up that well. The materials they use, the quality of the construction of it all. You know, and a lot of them have like moving parts, like, you know, you open them up, they have like opening doors and all that stuff.
It's like a little butterfly opening.
Yeah. And
they
switched
to safety razors during the war.
Really? Yeah.
Because of steel.
Yeah, they gave everybody a Gillette safety razor in a little kit. Whenever you were a GI, you had a little kit that had a Gillette speed razor in it. Yeah.
Now, were you scared the first time you used it? I was. I was like, oh man.
No, you know,
little tiny strokes. Took me about an hour.
So I tried it years and years ago, like probably 10 years ago, and I got a cheapo razor, like Mordency says, but I got one that was just wrong. Like it didn't hold the blade properly. Mm-hmm. And so it messed me up. I did a number and I thought, okay, well, never again. And then I, you know, again, during the pandemic, I was like sort of looking for better ways to shave, and I came across like the whole community of shavers and all this stuff, and was reading how other people had similar problems, and they said, you got to be careful because a lot of these things just aren't well made, or, you know, aren't adjusted properly or whatever. So I got a different one, and it wasn't expensive, and different blades, and you can get blade sample packs, and it's just like a blade of each different type and all this stuff. And so I just got into it and played around with it for a while, and started getting really good shaves after like just a few times of playing around with it. And like to the point where I was like, I mean, it's hard to explain how smooth it is when you get a really good close shave. Cause I had never gotten
what blades a do you super. Use?
Well, so now I'm not using a traditional safety razor. I'm using something it's got something called Artist Club blades in it, which is like a wide single edge blade. Huh. And they use it for barbering. That's what you would normally see. And then they use it in like the shavettes, they're called, which is essentially like a straight razor that you replace the edge, replace the blade. And so they use it in the professional barbering. The difference is that it's a stiffer blade. So safety razor blades, as you know, are like super thin and super flexible.
Yeah.
They have a single, a double edge, like a facet, like one sort of, you know, shape, shaped face to the blade.
They have a bevel on just one side.
Right. Like yeah, exactly. And so these single edge blades have a double bezel. So both sides are tapered off, and it just, for me, it's a stiffer blade. And so it the way it like engages my skin and stretches it as I shave, like it just pulls it perfectly. And so I love that razor, and I use it all the time. It's like a snowplow. It's so big. It takes huge swaths of hair. And then the other one I use is also, it's called an injector, and that's the kind like Schick. If you see old Schick razors, it'll be an injector razor. And it's the same thing. It's a single edge blade, stiffer blade, different steel. Anyway, so I've just been experimenting with all the different stuff. I never got into straights, but I have all the, I probably have like 200 vintage racers.
Damn, really?
Yeah, they were so cheap on eBay. You'd get like a lot of them for 10 bucks. You'd get like 10 or 15 of them in one go. Not anymore. They got in, like other people have discovered it as a hobby, and now all of a sudden everything, people buy the cheap ones and then resell them, you know. So yeah, you could.
This is also the same reason that I cannot get broken headphones anymore. Not from eBay.
Isn't it terrible? Somebody decides they're going to corner the market. They go and they buy every listing that's inexpensive, and then they just hold them and sell them. I've seen it happen with the razors. It drives me nuts. But anyway, so I got lucky and got all these before. And yeah, I tried them all and played around. It was just something fun to do, you know, and, I met a lot of cool people. I have a YouTube channel.
Holy shit. We're finding out so many details about Eric's underground shaving life.
I called it Better Every Shave because it was learning how to use it and all this stuff better and stuff. Yeah.
Do you guys like gather under bridges and shadowy places and trade?
No, it's a lot of very much like this. It's a bunch of older white guys just sit around and talk about, you know, shaving stuff. I think because it's such an exclusively male kind of thing that there's that sort of like camaraderie of like, well, I've had to spend my whole life shaving and I hated it. And now I've found a different way that I enjoy and like, yada, yada, yada.
See, I've gone to the dark side. I've switched to an electric razor, and I just shave in the shower, and I got
you have a wet one?
Yeah, a Panasonic. It's a nice one, too, and I started out with a cheap one, and it sucked, and so I didn't use it anymore, and then I read you need to get a really good electric razor if you want a nice shave that you, because I had to keep on going over and over and over, and it just sucked. But I got a kind of a high, not real high-end Panasonic, but, you know, upper-end Panasonic.
Is it the triple round blade thing, or is it a foil, or like?
It's a foil, yeah.
It's a foil.
But it has
used one of those.
It has, I forget how many blades inside of it, you know, under the foil. And man, that thing's awesome. But it was expensive, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
So you shave in the shower?
Yeah, I have one of those those mirrors that don't fog up, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I use a shaving oil, instead of like a shaving foam or whatever, because the oil works a lot better with the electric razor.
Did you use a shaving foam with the electric razor?
No. I used the foam with the safety razor, because I used the safety razor for a long time. And sometimes I still have it. Like, if I missed a spot, you know, I was in a rush, I'll just touch it up with the safety razor. But, yeah, I usually shave in the shower about every other day with that oil.
Mine's a Phillips, and it's relatively inexpensive. It's not a great one, but it's one of those ones where I have to shave with it dry, but I can use wet to clean it out, which trying to clean it out dry is just fucking miserable. So at least I can clean it wet.
Yeah.
It's fine. It does the job, and it's better than trying to use the a regular razor. I don't like shaving. Hate it. Yeah, hate it. If it was up to me, I would never shave again. But the problem is, this starts to get like, well, the biggest problem is right here in the neck. It just starts to get too itchy, and it gets like, it's like almost claustrophobic itchy. I'm like, all right, I just gotta fucking shave this thing, because it's itchy. It's horrible. I don't understand people who are like, oh, you just let the thing grow out, and then when you grow out, it's just, it gets nice and soft and stuff. No. This is itchy. It's irritable. And my biggest thing has always been, I need
sex toy.
Yeah.
It's for shaving your
what
ass.
What is that?
For shaving your balls.
He's only
for your balls.
That's horrifying.
This is the attachment for shaving your balls, okay? This is the one for shaving your head.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Your head? What part of your head are you shaving?
The balls? Right now, spot? None of it. Right now, none of it. Oh, that spot right there.
My dad uses something like that. Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, you know,
balls.
There it is. Love it.
Oh, okay. Do you like it?
It's so good.
Shaving on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a shame you that shaving? You can't see this, everybody.
It's doing a good job. Oh, they I mean, can. Look at that.
Not live, but there is a video version.
Of Joe oh, shaving. Doing a really good job.
My bigger thing is
balls.
What do you? Is it like an aftershave, or there's something you use for any like razor burn?
No, well, before I'll just jump ahead, just like I always do. I just use the oil to shave with, and uh-huh. It keeps my skin smooth. And you're not supposed to like wash it off afterwards. It just stays there. And you know, you wash your face before, but.
What is the type of oil that you use?
Let me look it up real quick. It's a specific shaving oil, and you just put a little in your hand. It smells kind of like lemon balm or something. I got it on Amazon, and it lasts forever because you just need a few drops.
Hey guys, I'm gonna jump off. I gotta get to bed early tonight. But I just hope everyone has a good holiday, and I'll catch up with you guys soon.
Yeah, you too, all right. Buddy.
All right,
good night, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Give my best to Janelle and Lewis.
I will. Have a good night, everybody.
And Fleetwood.
It's called Alonzo's Sensational Shave.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Maybe I'll put Alonzo's it in the show shave notes.
Pre shave oil.
Nice. Yeah, I've used some of that stuff. I when I first started, I felt like I needed like all kinds of like. Prep and aftershave stuff and like all the balms and all this stuff, and like now I do I just use the soap shave, and then I do use an alcohol based aftershave.
And, which one what do you use?
So it's a company called Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements. It's one of the larger like artisan brands. And it's my wife does not, she can't handle strong smells. Mm-hmm. And like strong meaning like not for me, like not strong at all, but for her, like if I wear anything at all, it's too much. So I have one that they call it's seen, like, which is Spanish for without. And it's just unscented. So I have a whole collection of ones that I use. Like if I'm leaving the house, as soon as after I shower, like right after I'm done shaving and stuff, I'll put on a normal aftershave that's like super, not, aftershave just isn't as strong as cologne, but it's still strong enough that it's around, like I can smell it and I enjoy it, like a lot of the fragrances and stuff I have. But for the most part, I use that one that's unscented. And there's just something about that, like the alcohol, and it has a little bit of skin treatment stuff in it as well. So it's not just alcohol, but yeah, it does a really good job in my face. Like 15 minutes later after I shave is just like it's baby smooth. I mean, it's unbelievable how good of a shave it is. And it lasts for, I shave probably every 4 days, 5 days, something like that. So
Honky, what do you use for
I will say that this it did well on the large areas, this firmer areas of the face. It did not do as well underneath chin, where
that's
the skin's
always
a little bit
been
softer.
My problem.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
an electric is right.
Electric
right
razors.
Spots.
You have to right know here. Which way your hair is going, and it have a lot of weird grains going on your neck and under your chin yeah. too. So,
is the foil one better on that?
Yes, it is. My original razor was an Aldi. Brand, okay. I think it was like $19 electric razor, and that's why I quit using
an
electric razor.
That didn't go well.
Yeah, really.
But when I got back into it, I spent the money on a decent razor, and it's so much better. Like with that Aldi razor, I had to keep going on my neck and yep. try to get the grain just right, and over, and it actually irritated my skin way worse than the safety razor ever did. But yeah.
It felt more like it was pulling the hairs.
It's
than
definitely
it was actually cutting them.
Definitely yep. something you have to get used to in practice.
So I think over the years I've bought two or three different ones, and I give them to my father-in-law or my brother-in-law, because both of them will use and like they like electric razors, but I think it's because I get the triple blade ones, like the Philips or the Norelco or whatever. And even the good ones, like the last one I got was over $100. It wasn't crap. Like it was it came with a stand up charging base and like had this whole cleaning routine thing it did. It was supposed to be amazing. And that's why I got it, because I was just so sick of having bad shaves.
That one that I just used has like a wireless charger.
Oh, wow.
And USB-C.
But yeah, so I just got tired of like it just didn't work. I had to go over those same spots over and over and over, and like, and I'm like, this is supposed to be like the best one. And so I just gave up. But I have never tried the Braun style like foil.
From what I've heard, which is why I bought the Panasonic, is those, the Panasonic and the Braun's are the ones you should buy if you want a good electric razor. So, I mean, I don't have that much experience, because the only good one I've had is that Panasonic I got, but it's been great, especially compared to the Aldi one.
Gotcha. Well, anything's got to be better than the Aldi one. Yeah. See, I like the electric razor because I don't want to spend too much time on it. I just want to do it and get it over with, because I hate shaving.
Now, and do you use any kind of, not aftershave, but like pre-shave, like a...
Nothing oil, pre-shave.
Just water?
I got like a, it's like a Nivea for men aftershave type thing that it's supposed to...
you just shave dry, does, in other words.
Dry. I don't know. I almost need something with like a little bit of aloe or something to get some of the red out into some of the spots, because once the neck right about here, either it's perfectly fine, or either it's just a little bit of nicking, or it's just... Like the other day, I looked at it and I'm like, wow, I looked like I was attacked by a cat.
Right? No, when I first got out of the military, I simply could not use an electric razor. It would drive me nuts that there, the amount of stubble that was left after using an electric. Now, granted, I still use, you know, a triple blade or quadruple blade. That's what the Dollar Shave Club has. Mm-hmm. Most days, but I am not as much of a stickler about it being baby smooth when I'm done with it. So,
but no, you were using something, Honky. Didn't you say you were using
Astroglide?
That's what I thought.
Hey, you know,
nothing's
what?
Nothing's better for a shave than good old fashioned Astroglide.
There's this guy, this crazy guy who shaves and makes these really silly shaving videos, and his secret ingredient is 3 drops of Astroglide.
So is it really?
Yeah, I swear. He mixes up the soap, and before he shaves, he does, now time for the secret ingredient, and he puts in, calls himself Silky Smooth. He's like a rocker guy, and he's got like long hair, and he's like, he's a total nut, and but yeah, it's like Silky Secret Ingredient, and like, it's so ridiculous, and he puts in 3 drops of, and he has all these different colors and kinds of Astroglide. I'm like, dude, I actually asked him, I'm like, how many hundreds of bottles of Astroglide do you have? He's like, I don't just use them for shaving. I'm like, too much information. But
I didn't ask.
There you go.
All right, back to Linux.
Well, balls. You want to talk about Linux for a little bit?
Sure. Do we have any Linux topics?
We were busy talking about Astroglide.
I was going to ask Netminer what he's been up to as far as his Raspberry Pis, or
we fired up the Pi 5. No, we didn't get the Pi 5 yet. I know you were trying to look do a DiaPi on the Pi 4
or MX Linux too, right?
I just saw Pi 400 on Facebook for $50.
Cool.
Before that, back to the Minix getting all those computers and sending them back.
We don't have to talk about that.
Right. Wait. So I got too much change back from a restaurant here. I'd spent over $1,000, or I'd spent 500 and some baht, which is, I don't know, $12, something like that. And they gave me back, I had trouble getting my bill to pay it, and multiple people touched the bill. And when it came back to me, my change from 1,000 baht was the bill and not the correct change. So they overpaid me. And I went back and, not speaking Thai, tried to get them to fix it. And they're like, no. And they're trying to show me that they paid me the right amount. And the girl behind the counter was like, oh, I gave you the wrong change. She spoke a little English. She's like, That comes out of my pocket.
Yeah, exactly. See, Joe? See, Joe? You're always getting on me.
Yes, yes, yes. No, 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 no. I still get on you for corporate company sending you the wrong item after messing up your order.
Corporate company. It could have, you know, it's Amazon. It could have been an individual seller, and they spent their life savings on these computers.
Eric,
and they were already. You're already having problems getting the item you actually purchased from them. No, no. So their fault, 100%.
Eric, for reference, Danny bought on Amazon. He bought like a mini PC on Amazon, and instead of them sending him one, they sent him a box that had how many in there?
32.
32 of these mini computers in there, and he kept his one and sent the box back to them, like a good newbie.
Listen, I do the same thing. Fine. No. I do the same thing. And like you said, with that coming out of their pocket, I know that it does. I've had the same thing happen where someone has overpaid me back. And I'm like, you want it? But I didn't leave. It was like, I looked at it and I'm like,
that is integrity and character. Sending back computers to a corporation that you're already having problems with who sent you the wrong amount? No. There's no moral dilemma in my mind about that. They're my computers.
It was a corporation. Yeah. I don't know where you're getting this from.
Look. While you're are there decent electronic stores where you're at, Mortensen?
I don't know. She won't take me to them, so I'm trying to find out on my own because she's mad when I talk to people here. So.
You have to wait for her to take you to the store.
Look, I want to know what mini PCs.
She didn't take me last year.
Oh, she better take you this year.
I'm on my own. I have a train card, but she got mad because I've been making friends and talking to people.
Well, now that you're all shaved,
because all of them are women. Because you keep talking to the women folk.
Yes, because they're the only ones hanging out in the middle of the week. all the guys are working.
That's right.
But you definitely need to find all the
friends she has that I could hang out with last year. They were all guys, and they worked every day. But I didn't get to. I got to hang out with them like a couple times the entire time I was here last year.
See, Netminer already had the solution to this. Last time he told you.
Yeah, she wasn't happy about that. That's the first person I met was Anna. she's the lady boy.
But she's not. She wasn't happy about that either.
Okay. No. Oriental magic.
Why not?
Oriental magic.
She's afraid I'm gonna fall in love with somebody else. I'm pretty sure she doesn't care if I am a philanderer just as long as I don't love somebody else. I think that's the big deal. She's invested over 3 years into me, and she thinks somebody else is going to snatch me up.
She's like, invested she's 3 years in you.
I'm like investment. No, I'm nobody else is going to snatch me up. I mean, everybody I've talked to, half of what I talk about is how wonderful Elle is, and I can see the annoyance in their face.
So I actually, this is funny that you mentioned this. I just looked up the ladyboy thing because I understood that it was a cultural thing and I wanted to see, and they call it a kathoey. I don't know how to say it. Kathoey. But yeah, going back like 700 years, this is like a tradition that it's like they consider it a third gender.
Thumbs up for me.
So I think that comes from Cambodia, and the whole idea is that evil and nasty women go to the fourth hell, and when they come back, they're reincarnated as ladyboys or something like that.
Okay.
One thing I saw somewhere, so it was probably on the internet, so take that for it was on the internet, so it's true.
So you're calling these women evil and nasty, and they need to go to hell.
No. I'm referencing something that was said about Cambodia. They're wonderful. Actually, the girl that sold me the jeans in the department store was a ladyboy, and she was probably 5'5", and if you didn't realize she was a ladyboy, she was You'd be surprised if you didn't realize it right away.
Yeah, it's so convincing.
She was, she was very beautiful.
I take a picture of my balls.
Sorry.
You have this thing
about replaying recordings of the word balls.
I didn't mean to. I was trying to get VLC. VLC is messed up to where it's like plays
all
real
balls
low
all
recording.
The time.
No, it's just balls.
That's going to get replayed back to you know it.
You should see his desktop.
Balls.
It's all balls all the time.
Balls. Balls. Your mouth is full of balls.
Oh, that's going to be a recording. I guarantee it.
Balls.
Joe, wow. Come on.
This is going balls. Off the rails tonight.
That's enough. Well, do y'all want to talk about Linux?
Linux, and then all of a
actually,
sudden, balls.
I am curious.
Check out the link I put in the Matrix chat. It's a PXE boot program.
Let's see. Boot using
Pixie boot.
Boot using iPixie.
So how does this work then?
Netboot. Oh, okay. Netboot. Okay, I'll read it. Boot using iPixie. NIC with embedded iPixie. If you've already compiled your own iPixie, you can load up the NetBoot XYZ menu easily by entering Control B when prompted, setting DHCP, and then chain loading iPixie.
Go back to the introduction. See, we're on the left. You're under Getting Started. If you click Introduction, it tells you what it does.
Oh, okay. NetBoot XYZ lets you Pixie boot various operating system installers or utilities from a single tool over the network. This lets you use one media for many types of operating systems or tools. The iPixie project is used to provide a user-friendly menu from within the BIOS that lets you easily choose the operating system you want, along with any specific types of versions or bootable flags. You can remote attach the ISO to servers, set it up as a rescue option in Grub, or even set up your home network to boot it to it by default so that it's... So you have to have... Oh, you already have to have NetBoot XYZ installed on the machine, the client machine first, right? Is that how it works? I'm guessing.
So the quick start says download one of the NetBoot XYZ bootloaders that works best for your situation and start PXE booting your favorite operating system. The bootloaders are pre-compiled versions of the latest iPixie that will allow you to PXE boot, and then it gives you an address, and if you have DHCP, so it just explains like.
So does it replace your regular bootloader on your computer?
I think it would come after it though, wouldn't it? Like you'd call
you have to
at this
least boot network. I mean, some things are going to have to boot before this works. Network is going to have to work, so it's going to have to be pointing to a location and
so they have. Look at the menu. They have booting from USB, booting from an ISO, booting from iPixie, booting from Grub, QEMU, TFTP, VMware. So they give you all these different options.
Where does the network come in from?
I think once you start this. So if you were to boot from like an ISO and then it instantiate this, then it's going to call out to wherever you're hosting the stuff. I mean, that's would seem like the way it would work. So how would this help you if you're setting up a lot of machines or if you were switching between different
things? The operating system specifically on your machine, I could see how that would be useful.
Yeah.
Because no one else would know how to turn on your computer.
So would you have a host machine somewhere that serves iPixie? And then you connect to it from this NetBoot XYZ menu. Is that how it works? Like, say you got 10 computers in your office, and then you have a host computer in your server room.
Joe's right. You're saying you're booted up. You do DHCP, and then they have a command chain, and then they're pointing it to boot.netboot.xyz. So if you don't have DHCP network, then you have to manually set your network stuff. And they talk about whether or not it supports HTTPS.
So Mortensen, he said, look at this link in the Matrix, and then he just disappears.
Oh, so, okay.
We've all confused.
So netboot.xyz is a hosted service, and then they talk about self-hosting. So I guess the NetBoot, okay. They must provide images at that address, at that netboot.xyz. So you're pointing to it, and then they give you all of the access, I guess, to the, and they show in that menu in the introduction, there's a screenshot where it shows all the different, like Arch, CentOS, CoreOS.
So you have to have Fedora. A site set up already. It says you can generate your own self-hosted environment using the same tooling to generate the hosted site. But you need a site somewhere if you're not using the NetBoot XYZ site.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. Okay, that makes more sense now.
So is that following the same lines as, what was it, when you use that web-based OS?
Yeah, that's what they're showing. So if you go,
it's kind of like that. At least yeah, using the Pixieboot version of this.
Yeah, if you're using NetBoot, it says your favorite operating system's in one place, simple to use, enables you to boot into many types of operating systems using lightweight tooling to get you up and running as soon as possible. Evaluate, install, rescue, so you can use it too. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pixieboot was usually used for installing the. It's another way to install OSs, and usually it's usually used to install multiple OSs.
Right. If you're imaging a bunch of systems.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That way you only have the one thing, as opposed to having like multiple disks. You used a Pixieboot to boot up to boot to like a live session to install upon a bunch of computers at once. So I wonder if this is kind of like the idea of. Well, is this.
So do you have to have the images?
Of setting up a live image, or is it like a persistent live image, or is it like I said, like a web OS type of a deal?
I bet.
Or is there a difference?
I bet if you are using NetBoot XYZ, like their site, it's probably just pointing to the download link from the official Debian or Fedora repo or whatever for the ISO, instead of hosting the ISOs themselves.
Yeah, and I don't think they're really giving you. It's really just hosting the Pixieboot process. It doesn't look like they're letting you have a persistent storage setup or anything like that. Like this is very much a evaluate, install, or rescue. So you can boot from it and use it in live mode, but it's not going to be persistent. You can use that to install. Or evaluate, and then also rescue, so you could live boot and then do like a chmod or chroot, you know, chroot, something like that, maybe.
Or like Joe said, you at least need to have a network connection set up before this even runs.
I think you'd probably do, like if I was using this, I would probably do the ISO option and then just have it on a USB and, you know, get the system up to a point where I can get a network connection and then do this. I don't know. I mean, but if I went that far already, like why wouldn't I just download the ISO that I wanted? So I'm trying to think of like outside of setting up a computer lab where you need to set up like 20 machines or more or something like that. Like how is this an
advantage? I think that's what this is for. It's for that scenario.
Yeah, I guess.
Or else why would you go through the trouble of hosting your own site? Your own netbook boot XYZ site.
Yeah. So, well, thanks, Morten C.
Thanks for just taking off.
Well, you use something like iPixie to load up Tails on a remote system, and then,
oh, you could do that, yeah.
And then at the end of it, you know, Tails goes back. When you're done with Tails, it goes back to what it originally was anyway. You know, nothing is persistent unless you.
But iPixie will still be persistent on the machine itself, right?
Right. iPixie will still be persistent.
On the client.
But then you can't even prove that the person was running Tails unless they put the script in to automatically connect to Tails.
So would you put iPixie on a USB then and boot from that, say like in a computer lab, and then
load reach out a Tails to your session? Version of Tails on your home server, and then when you're done, everything you did is gone. It's an extra layer of obfuscation.
I could see that. If the computer you're using lets you boot from USB.
So another Linux topic that occurred to me, and it's, I don't think I've been here long enough to know what your preferences are, but we don't have to go into great depth with each person, but I'm just curious like what you use as a daily driver in terms of like distro and desktop.
I use Fedora.
Do you really need me to say?
Well, nobody mint here cinnamon. Uses mint. Mint is trash. But we all use.
That's what I'm mint. Using too. I'm using mint cinnamon.
I use mint cinnamon.
On this laptop, I do. On the new tablet, I'm using Fedora.
But all of my machines, I also install Mate. I don't install Mint Mate. I install the cinnamon version of Mint, and then I install Mate as well. But that's so that I can spin off another desktop using X2Go or something like that. Or if I'm having trouble with a graphics card, then I can load up Mint, which is a lot better than the non-hardware accelerated version of Cinnamon.
So in the spectrum of devices you have, you tend to just, you have Mint as a base with Cinnamon, and then you'll put Mate on as well. Okay.
Yeah. I do have one machine that is running Cinnamon Ubuntu.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't looked at that lately.
Yeah.
For a couple years, I don't think.
It's pretty good. I mean, there's small differences, but unless you're looking for it, you really don't see it.
Yeah, the Fedora Cinnamon seems pretty good, too.
What are you running? Is Netminer still awake with us? Or?
Yeah.
What are you running as your daily driver? Eric is asking. MX?
I'm running MX on x86, and I'm running, I haven't switched out of Pi OS on the Pi 4.
Okay.
Have you tried that new MX Linux for Raspberry Pi yet?
Have not tried. Haven't done much. No. I was dealing with some other stuff last week, and this week I've been kind of knocked back by the accident.
So you're happy with MX Linux as your daily driver, pretty much?
Yeah, MX XFCE, to be precise.
Right. Netminer, do you use a desktop or a laptop?
Primarily desktops. I've got a couple of laptops, but both of them are parked at the moment. One of them is a gaming unit that my brother gave me. But that one I have to run Ubuntu on because I can't remove enough secure boot for anything else to run on it.
Gotcha.
That one has been parked. I've got another, I guess it's a modern version of a netbook that I'm not using right now because its job has been replaced by a quad-core mini.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know several people that really dig the mini computers outside of Raspberry Pis. It's like the little Lenovo. I forget what the model is, but they're like really into their tiny computers.
Well, since Nooks stopped making, or Intel stopped making Nooks, everybody else seems to be making them now.
Gotcha.
Yeah, also, Zotac bought it, right? The whole Nook trademark and all that.
Those were pretty interesting for a while. They're expensive, but they were interesting.
Actually, what I'm running are what they call the 1 liter. They were originally built to be like stuck behind a monitor.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like with the TDP, like the wattage and the heat production of modern processors, you can get away with either just passive cooling or, you know, very modest cooling and have a reasonably powered performance system in those really small spaces. The only thing is expandability. So, I mean, if you care or need to be able to expand them, obviously, it is more difficult.
Well, it's like when my grandma over the summer wanted a replacement for her computer. You know, I thought about getting her a tower, but honestly, it was just easier to get her a Nook and get her a USB hub. And because she's not going to take that thing apart, she's not going to replace things. She's not.
Does that have a full size 2.5 drive, or is it M.2?
That one, I think that one had a slot for the full size drive, but had the M.2 or the 2.5 inch drive, not a full size drive, but a 2.5.
It's amazing how fast M.2 has been rolled out and like just made a standard. I feel like everything else took forever to penetrate the market and really like filter its way down.
Well, SATA did kind of rush the market, but everybody, you know, kept using IDE for a long time because nobody likes to throw things away. And so the old computer market still had a lot of those, but well, I guess PETA and then SATA, but SATA really took over a whole lot faster than PETA did, but yeah. M.2 has been around for a while, probably longer than you think.
It must be. I just must have never had a system that had it. Yeah.
Yeah, it took a long time for it to actually get where people had it. I mean, I remember people getting the PCI cards so that they could run M.2 drives.
Oh, wow.
Because for just faster boot.
Gotcha.
Oh, I know.
How does it run on a PCI bridge?
I mean, I haven't done that, but I guess if you're using like an X16, it would be pretty darn fast.
Yeah, okay. X16 is probably wide enough bandwidth that you don't even really run up against it.
And with the older M.2s, I'm sure
good point.
The 4s and the 8s weren't bad either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. PCI, that was huge when those came. That came out as a standard, and like the, you know, expandability of systems, like you could put some really cool stuff on those boards. Yeah, PCIe was big. How about you, Honky? What do you use since you're eating? Sorry, man. Usually, you said you don't have anything new. You've made that comment.
Manjaro.
Okay.
Most have running Manjaro. I have an older one here that's running Bunsen Labs, but
what desktop do you like?
Enlightenment.
Oh wow! Okay.
I put Enlightenment on most.
Wow! Yeah.
I know what you're using. You're using Command Click.
Command. Yeah. I put that on my phone, and I have not figured out what the fuck the purpose of it is. It's. You put it on too, right?
Yeah.
You installed it.
I don't know what it does.
It's a browser.
It's
a browser, and it's running got a terminal.
Ubuntu, right?
And it's running a emulated Ubuntu, but
did y'all see that Command Click?
No, I don't know.
Speaking of operating systems,
run it's so Command.
I'll put it in the show notes. If y'all can figure it out, please enlighten us.
Yeah, Command Click is basically it's just described as emulated Ubuntu, but it's a browser, but it's also a terminal.
That's not how it's described.
Well, that's basically what it is.
Command Click.
How is it described?
Command Click is Android browser powered by Ubuntu without root access and Termix. This is full-end browser from back-end plus front-end provide you with new browser world. That's how it's described.
That's basically what I said. So playing with
Except
it, I mean...
you made more sense.
That's this is scary, the
developer
right?
talking, not me talking.
Android browser powered root access and without root access and Termux.
Try to wrap your head around it.
Yeah, put this on your phone.
I've been able to browse with it. I opened up the terminal. I was able to install Nano because there's a little like log thing that was there, but then I realized I didn't have a keyboard that had any of the function keys, so I need to get the it's the hacker keyboard, right?
Hacker keyboard.
Yeah. I get the hacker keyboard. I had that a long time ago, but I use what was it? Juice, Juice SSH. I've been using that, and that has like a secondary keyboard thing that comes up for all that stuff that I normally would use.
I don't worry about it. Termux has all the extra keys above your regular keyboard.
Did I install Termux? I mostly just been using Juice SSH because a long while back, he was in one of the group store was in. He told me about Juice SSH had something where if you sign up for it now, you get or if you sign into it now, you get free for life the full version of Juice SSH. So I did. So that's just what I've been using.
Eric, see if you understand this. Existing web browsers mainly has tab feature, but command click core is history search. Therefore, you easily restore, load, and check my history. Existing web browser support normal JavaScript, but command click enforce JavaScript and interact with not only web, but also Ubuntu, Shell, Python, Golang, Clang, Android, OS, CLI, and therefore this has widespread usage. Existing web browser link QR code to system, but command click handle QR code for P2P file transfer, git clone, and URL, JS, Wi-Fi, SMS. Existing web browser cannot create original Android app, but command click can create the app just for you as low code tool.
So I'm looking at the GitHub page. This is definitely English as a second language, and so much of the world exists. Like the only technology they really have is a phone. They don't have a computer, so I could see how this would be interesting to someone who may not have. Who only has an Android phone has rooting Android phones has gotten more difficult, and so see how this is, you know, not needing to root and then having access to an emulator that you could do all of these different things. I don't understand what create original Android app means, with especially
is it like creating a web app?
It must be like an Electron type thing.
So if you go into it, I'm turning it on.
I already uninstalled it.
I give you guys credit for being brave enough to actually install this thing. But you
probably
know.
Already stolen all my credit card debt.
What is this Izzy on Droid? Is this something you've seen before?
Oh, that's the not F-Droid, but the front end for F-Droid called Izzy on Droid. That's just...
that's what they call it in here.
So. Yeah, it's called...
Command click.
Oh, Droidify. Droidify. You guys ever use that?
Didn't. No.
It's like a really nice front end for F-Droid.
Didn't F-Droid just implode or something?
Oh, that's right. There is some crazy F-Droid drama.
Like somebody owns it and like is ignoring all of the contributors and like did something goofy. I don't know the real story.
Yeah, they did. There was some major F-Droid drama. That says, what did they say? They actually posted on their GitLab page as like a weird issue that they filed, that they pushed to their GitLab.
Wow.
It says, at F-Droid, all of us are accountable to the community, and the central decision-making body within F-Droid is the F-Droid board. Hans has turned ComCo, Community Council, into nothing but a farce. By repeatedly refusing to acknowledge a clear board decision and fundamentally undermining our community authority and ability to function, marking another chapter in a long history of problematic unilateral actions for which he refuses to accept any accountability. Sadly, this leaves us no choice but to resign from Community Council and either leave F-Droid or take an indefinite break from our duties, respectively, effective immediately.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
But it's open source. Can't we just fork it?
Yeah, you can. I mean, yeah. it's all the community council like weighs in. I'll post this in the show notes and you can read your comments, but it's weird. I don't know what's going to, and who is Hans? Is he like the original star of F-Droid?
Hans Gruber. He got thrown off of Nakatomi Tower.
This is the kind of stuff
I did it first.
Like I insist that my clients own their domain, their like hosting details, like they need to have all this stuff and they need to own it and control it, because I've seen so many dickhead developers and just random people that hold customers hostage where they're just like, well, you don't know how to access anything. So, you know, it's unbelievable.
Open source is definitely not immune from that type of attitude. Yeah. They have the same kind of drama.
God, what was it? I'm trying to think now. This happened not that long ago where someone owned the domain. Pulpy? It's one of the Ubuntu flavors. If you go to the one website, it's the wrong website. And maybe it's not an Ubuntu flavor, but it is a Linux project. It's a distribution. And like if you go to the one website, this one jerk off who owns the domain would not release it to them. So it's the one that you find when you search. It's the top result, but that's not the right website. You have to go to a different one.
So was he the original project lead or something?
He could have just been someone who was volunteered to help them set up their website or something.
He was just in the right place at the right time and was able to grab the domain when it was between contracts.
God, who is that?
That's happened.
Yeah, I think it's one of the Ubuntu flavors. I can't remember. Anyway, it is exactly that, and I've seen it not only go ahead.
Didn't somebody buy up Google.com that way?
Really?
Well, this isn't a squatter. This is someone who was involved and had a disagreement with the project, and they were just like, well, you know, what was it?
I'm trying to find it because it sounds familiar.
It does.
It's not Budgie. Yeah,
I don't even know what to search for, to be honest.
I'm going to have to reprint
this. Is it Lubuntu? Maybe it's Lubuntu.
Oh, maybe.
Yes, there's a Lubuntu.me and a Lubuntu.net. Lubuntu.me is not the right one, I don't think, or Lubuntu.net. One of the two is wrong. And yeah, one of them is just the guy who would not like.
Wasn't there some issue with Lubuntu because they wanted Lubuntu went from
it went from LXDE to LXQT.
Right. Because LXDE just kind of went away.
Yeah, Lubuntu.net, if you go there, their latest download is 1904. Now, fortunately, it's not the top result anymore, but for years it was the top one, and you'd go to it and it was like, it's still set up as a full Ubuntu website. It has all the documentation and all this stuff. It's just out of date now. But yeah, I asked at some point, and it was just like, yeah, this guy's just a dick.
Okay, I posted a link to the history of what happened in the show notes down at the bottom.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. So the official is Lubuntu.me.
Mm-hmm.
It's registered by Canonical.
So, just real quick back to the what the hell is this? Command click. So it's got these little QR. You probably can't see anything. It's got a little QR things, but the QR codes are almost like set up as like web apps. So one is like Google Translate. One is CopyLink. So I think that's what it's talking about. Is you can almost create like almost bookmark style web apps or whatever.
Well, how do you scan the QR codes on your phone?
I don't understand the point of the fucking QR codes at all. So the QR code is a link to like you could share it.
I installed Command Click, it filled up my photo gallery with all these fucking QR codes, and I was like, "What the hell is this?"
Wow!
Did they go away when you deleted it? Because I'm just uninstalling it now.
Oh.
I basically
you need to keep it installed because you're supposed to figure it out and tell us what it does.
No. I made it this far. This is as far as I go.
You made it farther than most of us, I'm sure.
I have to go back and... Oh, I have to delete all the goddamn QR code images. We need to talk about the movie.
See if they work with something else. QR codes?
Where do they go?
A different browser.
I don't want to.
Where do they go? If you look at it, what is it, a URL or?
I don't know. I don't know about the UR code, but the click the button and it would take you to a URL, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you there are apps where you, like, if you point it at a QR code, it shows you. But it's not always just a URL. Like, it can have, like other stuff in it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's
it's gone. Going now.
To the movie.
So the movie we watched this time around was Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. From, let me scroll up to figure out which year it was from. Actually, it should be right there.
2015.
Wasn't even in the thing. 2015. Let's see. Do we have the IMDb?
Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, well, it's, what's his face? George Clooney, Hugh Laurie, and a bunch of other people I've never heard of before.
House.
Oh, that's right. Hugh Laurie was a bad guy. I forgot.
Yep. Does anyone want to give the synopsis? Because I think it's...
Is there
a quick and dirty version of a synopsis? Because most of it is, most of the movie is trying to explain what
the
premise it is.
Of the movie.
Yeah.
I'll try to explain it real quick if I can. So, I'll give a basic outline. The point of the movie is that there is a secret. You know, it reminds me of Watchmen when they have all those scientists go in a secret spot and build a massive explosion. Anyway, so the point of the movie is there's this secret society of scientists that have found a place away from the rest of humanity through another dimension, and they all come from Earth, and they're trying to build up all this fantastic technology and stuff, or they are building it, and I'm not sure why they're doing it in another dimension. Oh, they explain because they want to get away from politics and all the aggression and stuff. Yeah, all the bull crap that's common in every country on Earth, right? So they go there. But do you guys know what is the purpose of build? What are they trying to build exactly? Are they trying to...
The utopia? Just a world with just scientists without all the war.
And they're not planning on sharing this, the Earth? Is it?
Well, originally they were supposed to be, but then... Yeah. That stopped because of the machine that they built that's... You know, well, that's part of the story, so I'll let you do that.
Did we ever figure out what the machine was?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Was the machine, so the kid, so when he, George Clooney was a kid, he built a machine so you could see into the future and the past.
Right.
Yeah,
you had that. Seeing into the future saw that everything was shit.
Was going to be destroyed. But the machine itself didn't just predict the future, it pushed out an image of the future into everyone's minds. And
well,
but it only did that because of Hugh Laurie.
That was the side effect that Hugh Laurie created.
No, he didn't create the side effect. It was a side effect. Hugh Laurie found out about the side effect and kept using it.
Are you sure? I thought he had an antenna because he wanted people to see the future so that they would change it.
Instead of people wanting to change it, they just accepted it and embraced it.
Let me try to explain this because nobody's going to know what the hell we're talking about. So in this special society, George Clooney as a young boy, you have to get invited into this society, and George Clooney gets recruited when he's young, and he creates a machine that can see the future using tachyons. But the future... Well, they also make this distinction. This is only one path that the future can take, but it can be changed. So it's not definite. And they show that whenever the girl's going up the elevator, or the elevator's broken, right, and you can see those after images. And then the robot girl actually saves what's his face.
Well, they show it the first time when the percentage changes when she's at Clooney's house.
Right. So this happens in the past. Now it's the future, and there's a young girl whose dad works for NASA, and she gets given one of these tokens that's a recruitment token that basically when you touch it, you get to see what's in the other dimension where this utopian society is, and she's like flipping out.
You get to see the ad.
Oh, that's right. It's a recording, right? And so she goes on a search to find out where this token came from and how to get back to this place that the token showed her. So she comes in contact with a young android girl who was the one that put the token inside of her pack or something like that. She said it was in with her stuff.
somehow slipped it in there. And the android girl explains to her that she's a recruiter and she wants to take her to this utopian society.
You
to
skip the android, the other androids.
That's all right. We don't need to.
We don't need every single detail. Okay. I'm just giving the outline. So she's like, cool. Well, let's go. So on the way there, she's getting attacked and harassed by bad androids and all this other stuff. And she meets up with George Clooney, who has been deported from the utopian dimension because, because of the machine he created, and so she finds him and tells him what I have this token, and he sees it and he's like, where did you get this? And she tells him the little girl, and so the little girl shows up and finally convinces Clooney that hey, she's the one that can save the world basically from your future, and he doesn't believe her until he sees a broadcast from his machine, because he's able to pick up the signal from the other dimension. It always says 100%, but when she shows up, it goes down to 99%. Like, now there's only a 99% chance that the world is going to be destroyed. So this is enough to change his mind, and they go inside a machine that transports them to Paris, to the Eiffel Tower, and because they need to get to this other dimension, and when they're in Paris at the Eiffel Tower, they come in contact with the bad guys again, but it's actually the Eiffel Tower is actually a rocket ship that transports them into outer space and then back down towards Earth, but into the dimension where the scientific utopia is. So they get to that dimension, and Hugh Laurie is there, and they find out the secret. If you haven't seen this, this is a twist, so you might want to skip forward, that even though this machine was made to show the future, what Hugh Laurie is doing, I think, is broadcasting this future signal on an antenna to Earth so that people can see this is their future if they keep screwing up and don't do what they can to save the world. And in the future, looks like nuclear bombs going off and everything's deserts or it's underwater. It's all messed up. The planet's all messed up. And so he's been broadcasting this on an antenna. But instead of actually doing something to change the Earth, they have packaged this dystopian idea and used it to make video games, and basically to profit off of it with movies, video games, survival gear, whatever they can, instead of actually doing something to make this a better world, because it pays more currently now to take advantage of it and exploit it than it would than looking at the long term and actually doing something to save the Earth. And the little girl who goes with who is given the token, well, she's not really little, right? She's driving and stuff. Who's given the token is who is supposed to save the world, supposedly figures this out, that this is what's happening and this is what Hugh Laurie is doing, and so they need to destroy this antenna that's broadcasting this message to the Earth. And so a bunch of fighting and stuff goes on and blah blah blah, and eventually they kind of destroy the antenna and everything gets saved, and in the process they want to start a new batch of scientists young people like that to start on the problem of how to save the Earth from like climate change and nuclear war and things like that at the end. And they show them all giving them tokens and going out through the world and spreading these tokens to other people to recruit them. That's the basic gist of the movie.
Yes.
If there's any details you want to fill in, feel free.
Okay. I'm going to ignore most of the details for now. But for me, there was so much story to this with not enough character build. Like, the movie should have been almost twice as long so that you actually felt a connection with the stuff that was there.
Well, that I feel
instead
like
of just it being raced through is what it felt like.
Yeah. That night, I don't know.
Just so much subtext, so much understories, you know, like, the scientists were the rich elite. We don't care that everybody else was going to die. Well,
why did Tomorrowland in the recruitment video look like a great place, and then Tomorrowland in reality looked like a fucking Hubble where there was nobody there?
There was
not only that, where did everybody like go? A military because, dictatorship. Like,
there's one guy. Even he's looking into his past. It was somewhere great. And then when he gets there, it's like it's Hugh Laurie and a bunch of robots. That's it.
That's because it's been like 40 years or something, and they've stagnated. And a lot of those places they aren't going into, so they aren't getting cleaned, which is why everything looks grimy and dusty.
What happened to everybody, all the people?
This is that subtext again. Now, all of those people, you know, okay, some of them went back, I'm sure. Some of them just got stuck doing their own thing. That's part of that whole build thing that they should have done there.
Yeah, Joe's saying this is part of the problem, is that you're left with this questions, right? Because they don't really answer them throughout the movie. And not only do they not answer them, they don't really even give you clues to go on as to exactly what happened to Tomorrowland, you know?
Yeah, because in the end, you only saw, what, one scientist and a bunch of soldiers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact of that Hugh Laurie's answer to most of the time was just banish them from Tomorrowland. Just banish them. Yet those fucking robots, anytime they saw somebody at the retro shop, all those robots just fucking disintegrated everybody. Human being just zap dust. Not even a blink.
No,
we're just gonna send you away. We're not gonna bother trying to kill you or anything. No, go away.
Federal agent robots, when they first got there, they weren't trying to kill the cops. They were saying, okay, we're taking this over, don't search through, we'll take care of it. And then they didn't kill the cops until after they found that android skull.
Now all these robots,
right, but they were only there for like a minute.
In the Earth dimension, their whole purpose is to prevent people from finding out about this Tomorrowland, right? Am I right saying that? Is that why they're there? Like the comic book shop or the hobby shop or whatever? They purposely had that token on their website, so if somebody found it, they would bring it to them to find out more about it, and then they could be eliminated or whatever. So,
yeah. Well, I think they wanted to figure out where they knew that the little girl was out there and she was still working. What was the little girl's name?
Athena,
that's it. That Athena was still out there recruiting, and they just wanted to, it was kind of like a honeypot for finding where she is.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I like the movie.
Like I said, a lot of things. I like the movie, too. I'm just saying that it would have done better as a longer movie with some more explanations, some more character fill, because you really didn't feel a whole lot of attachment to the George Clooney character until, you know, they did start getting into his past and everything, and that was really, really late into the film. But then you don't really feel any attachment to the girl's father the way that she does. You don't feel any attachment really to the girl, because nothing gets explained about her other than she was an activist that went to jail for a day and got a pen.
Right. And there was supposed to be a tender moment when, spoiler, Athena gets blasted and George Clooney is holding her. And I was like, I could care less.
Exactly. There was very little Athena build. There was enough Athena build that you could understand that she was a robot and that she was kind of getting outside the bounds of her programming, and she actually had a thought or two of her own. But you didn't care because you didn't know the character.
There was a little bit of build-up of the relationship between her and George Clooney as a kid.
There was more build of her than there really was of anybody else. Of Athena. And even still, I just didn't really feel that attachment to the character.
All right. Yeah, if they built up a little bit more of a story about that, I'm sure you'd feel a lot more about that whole scene where George Clooney uses Athena as a bomb to blow the thing, the machine up.
Yeah, he blew up his imaginary friend to save the world.
See, I would like to know what the ultimate purpose of Tomorrowland is. I mean, of the utopian city itself.
It was building the future.
Future of what? Of the Earth or of itself?
The future.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
So, exactly. In the end, it apparently was trying to come up with ways to help fix the problems that they were talking about at the beginning of the movie, where they showed her in class and she said all the teachers were sitting there talking about
how do we fix it?
Yes.
they were ignoring her.
Right. And basically what they're trying at the end, what they're trying to do is create a like think tank of smart people to come up with ways to fix those problems and create things to,
they went after scientists. They went after engineers. They went after artists, musicians, and brought them all there. And I guess the idea was to build that Tomorrowland while also saving, you know, Earth.
Right.
Maybe that was the original intent, was to solve these problems on Earth, but you cannot be under the influence of all the political stuff and all the greed and all the aggression on Earth while you work to create a solution. So you have to get away from problem in order to fix it. I'm guessing.
Maybe.
They never really explicitly say that, but nope. That's my guess. I think it eventually evolved into, well, screw Earth. We're just going to stay here in this society.
It became Hugh Laurie's personal playground. Because seriously, I think there were a couple other people that you saw when they were sending out the other bots that they made to go recruit more people.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was not that much of a crowd. And yeah, who was there? Like, nobody. They made some pretty robots. They perfected that jetpack that Clooney made.
Yep.
They found out how to use tachyons, I guess. Or Clooney, if I could figure that out, I think.
Yeah.
Clooney's character.
And it was interesting, the story that they told about Tesla and Edison and...
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Well...
I gotta say, I'm kind of fading.
Yeah, I think we're
almost done. We just wanted to get the movie out of the way.
Did you ever see Tomorrowland at Minor?
No, it doesn't sound like my kind of show.
I don't think it would be. It's not really my kind of movie either. But I think it's geared more towards like a Disney adventure for kids. And it's not really what I'm into.
But thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I still give it a thumbs up. I mean, it's just not... I don't think it's badly made or anything.
I agree with Joe that I think it was a... I thought it was a good movie, but it was definitely lacking.
I will say this. For the budget that was probably went into this, I think the ROI was very low return on investment.
Right.
Compared to how much they made, or how much it cost to make, or whatever.
So. Kind of looks like Tomorrowland. No.
So we'll say, Eric, did you see this?
I couldn't find a place to watch it, and I wasn't going to pay for it. So no.
I put it in the Matrix chat, but not till late.
I searched for it and didn't find it. So maybe.
I didn't put it in there till when? Day before yesterday or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and it was already a 2-hour-long movie.
Yeah,
I think it could have been a 4-hour movie, seriously, for all of the actual story that needed to be built into it.
Well, I think they should have just had a better director that would have streamlined everything to still fit the same time frame, but you could have done a better job telling the story and stuff.
Yeah, there was so much subtext to this film.
It definitely didn't get good ratings, which is usually a bad sign, I think.
How would you streamline this movie? Because this is... Yeah. There was just way too much.
there was too much.
I think that's great, the problem.
Great dialogue can consolidate lots of ideas.
That's true, too. Yeah. A lot of the dialogue was very, unnecessary.
Yeah,
fluff. It didn't do anything to advance the story, you know?
Don't play with my toys.
Yeah. Look how much time they spent in George Clooney's house just doing nothing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Miniseries. Make a good,
look how long that fight was miniseries. At the end between the robots and, you know, the final fight and Hugh Laurie and all them. It took forever. That was the last quarter of the movie. It didn't. Yeah. That was just for looks.
You know, when I was first watching the movie and I didn't know any better, the physics of the little girl kicking butt kind of threw me. And then it's, she's not really a little girl. She actually is an android and has the weight of an android. So the physics work.
What did it get? 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. I'm going to give this a half a thumb.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
For the bad points we've pointed out, it only gets half a thumb.
I like that half a thumb.
Okay, two half thumbs, a full thumb. More and see, what do you give it? Thumbs up. So that's three thumbs total. All right, let's pick the last movie before everybody bashes out. Drumroll coming up. Let me get the script ready. Okay. It says Cyber Tracker 2 from 1995.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Was Cyber Tracker, was that with Don the Dragon Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was a good one.
No, it wasn't.
Tracker. Yeah, that was with Don the Dragon Wilson. The second one has Don the Dragon Wilson in it, too. Any movie with Don the Dragon Wilson is worth seeing.
Is it so?
A Secret Service agent battles an arms dealer who is creating a cyborg army. Don Wilson is the only person I recognize in the cast. Well, there you go. That's the only synopsis it gives us.
Do you need any more than that?
I guess not.
All you needed was Don the Dragon Wilson.
What? One of them says good, but not as good as the first. Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
So that's where the bar is set. It's the first one.
Tomorrowland's looking better and better.
I have to look up Don the Dragon Wilson.
Oh, but
you
another one says
Don the Dragon Wilson?
Another review starts out about as good as Cyber Tracker 1.
I have to be honest. You're definitely stretching my the landscape of cinema for me. There's so many movies that you guys have either talked about that I literally have never.
I'm gonna name a couple of movies, and if you haven't watched them, you need to correct this.
Hold on, let me open that Bird movie.
No, I'm not going to put that on there. That is my joke.
Oh, Birdemic?
Birdemic is awesome, but it's not on this list.
Thanks, okay, Holly. Awesome.
No, it's like Labyrinth. It's not awesome. It's not even a movie.
Yes, of course I've seen Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
That's one of my daughter's favorite movies. Legend, of course.
Legend. Okay. Enter the Dragon.
Yes, of course.
Gunhead.
The Last Dragon.
Yes.
If you've seen The Last Dragon before, you definitely need to watch it again.
Okay, I'm adding it to the list.
Have you seen The Last Dragon, Honky?
Yeah, probably.
I'm the Shogun of Harlem.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
That's Shonuff.
Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem.
What else?
Yes,
what else
Last Dragon is so awesome. The shoulder pads, the
Elder Wands.
It's ridiculous. I love it.
Okay. 48 Hours.
Yes, of course.
Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
Oof, let's see. What else is on the list?
Some less well-known.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
You realize that none of these are in along the same line as
Dragon Wilson.
Dawn the Dragon Wilson, yes.
Yeah, we need to name some lesser-known movies. Santa Slay, have you seen that one?
Oh.
Have I seen one?
Santa Slay. Or the Sloth.
Oh, that actually looked really good.
Okay.
Is that the one with the guy from...
No, this one is one with Wrestler
Goldberg. Oh, that was Violent Night. And Violent Night is really good.
Oh, Violent Night, yeah.
Violent Night's awesome. How about Commando?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
These are all really common movies. Names are that aren't...
I have a lot of these.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he knows that.
I just watched it.
We forgot the theme.
Actually, I have a movie to add.
Oh, go ahead.
Hold on. Kill a theme.
Oh, I'm sorry.
President's Man.
No, kill a theme.
Oh, kill a theme. Okay. I thought you said play the theme. What did you say?
Never mind. Go ahead.
If you're talking about something like Commando, The President's Man, Chuck Norris and company.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
Here's one most of you probably haven't watched that you definitely should. Malice in Wonderland.
I did watch that because you recommended it.
Because I recommended it.
Yeah. The President's Man, I got that on my watch list, Netminder. I'm going to watch it. It's a TV nice. Movie.
Yeah, I got it. I saw it on I saw part of it on YouTube. I got to finish it.
A U.S. Okay. president's highly classified secret agent must find a fearless replacement to take over his extremely dangerous military missions. There we go. It's on Prime.
Rollerball.
Which
That's
one?
That's a good one.
Yes.
Both the original. Of them. The original. Both or the remake? Of them. Both of them.
Yes. I saw the first one
with James Caan.
That's yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
Yep.
It was good.
It was fucking horrible.
Well, the president's man. Well, first Chuck Norris, you can't.
Go wrong.
Also, yeah, I mean, also, it's sort of like our man Flint.
Okay.
You know, it's he's you know he's just the epitome of the troubleshooter that nobody knows about, but he always shoots his trouble right.
Next lesser known movie, or I think it's lesser known. Maybe you guys know it. The Big Hit.
No, I don't think I know that
That's
one.
That's the one with
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark, yes, yeah. I saw it in the theaters.
And Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes.
Is it about smoking weed?
No.
It's a giant hit. The whole movie is just one long joint. And you just hit it until it goes.
Takes That's two a hours. Cheech and Chong movie, right?
The Big
Hit. That's where they kill people a lot.
I remember that one.
Not Big Trouble in Little China, but Big Trouble.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Not.
It better be on your list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. I watch that at least once a year. Are you kidding?
Right. VFW.
DFW?
V.
Like a VFW.
Like Veterans of Foreign Wars. The movie is called VFW.
Okay.
On the list. Danny Trejo.
Yeah. Dog Soldiers.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nah, I haven't heard that one.
Dog Soldier.
It's a werewolf movie.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you guys have talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes, I just watched it last month. Yeah.
It took me a long time to watch that, too, and I'm so sad I missed it when it came out.
Yep. It's the first time I watched it, and same way, I've looked at it for years. I keep seeing it in the list, and I never watched it.
I'll put VFW on my list.
Ung Bak, Thai Warrior.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't watch the sequels, just watch the first one.
Tony Jaa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, VFW has Fred Williamson in it.
VFW's awesome. Let's see. I need to put these in a separate folder.
The goods.
Right?
How about Live you hard, think, sell hard.
How about you think of a bunch of movies, and then on the next show, you can tell us all.
Sahara. Have you watched Sahara?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I actually really like that one.
It's a good movie. Young Frankenstein. Everybody's watched that, though.
Yeah. Of course.
You have to watch The Last Starfighter every year.
Come on.
Yes, nope. Of course.
All right. Nope. Show's over.
Hey,
He's brought up Last Starfighter.
I had one more. I had one thing to ask.
Oh, okay, do you guys. I really do have to go. I
mean, all okay.
Right. Yeah, it's time to go. The music says it's time to go.
Look good, everybody. You have to watch The Burbs with Tom Hanks from 1988.
Just watched it.
We know
just
The Burbs. Watched it. Everybody knows The Burbs.
Everybody License knows to Drive.
Movie. Yes, the two Corys. Not a good movie.
I didn't say they were good movies. Johnny Mnemonic.
Yes, just watched it.
We watched that on the show, didn't we?
That was on the list. Yeah.
I put it on the list, but I don't think we ever watched it from the list.
Netminder says we have to go.
All right, go.
Yo.
Cut it.
Okay. We can continue talking afterwards.
Or do you want me to do the outro? Is that what that is?
Play
or,
it out.
You going to play the music? What's going on here?
No, I was doing that because the Netminder is getting tired. I'm getting tired, too. But I'll let you call it. You want me to say the outro?
I got it. Our next recording date will be January 5th, 2024. Our music is Downright, provided by Klaatu and Brome. We'd like to thank the Danny for the use of his mobile server.
Hang on, one second. Sorry.
Oh, geez.
I wanted to say this in the beginning of the show. I forgot. So the Mumble server, the Jitsi server, the Matrix room, that's all part of Lugcast property. So you don't have to thank me in the end credits or anything like that. That all belongs to the Lugcast as a whole, and I want that you guys to know that it has. I did it because of the Lugcast, not for me. So, however you want to do that, that's what I say. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just a piece of a puzzle.
Sharktopus versus whale wolf.
You son of a bitch. Yeah,
finally, give a special thanks to Father Finch, Weeb, Dave Morris, Delwyn, and Tony Bemis for all their help and support over the years. All right. I have been Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been Eric.
Sorry. Good to see you. See you next time.
Hello.
Merry Christmas,
Joe. Good night.
Lugbot.
Shit. Where's Lugbot? Oh, here he is. Okay.
We have gone off the rails.
Meh. Sharktopus versus Pterodon.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah, right. Merry Christmas. I forgot.
Morton C.
Good night, everyone.
And, of course, Stent Miner.
Good night. Our Blue Moon show would be right up against the New Year's, so we probably won't have one.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just do the New Year's.
Don't forget that at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on December 29th, no, December 31st. Oh, shit. The hell is this? December 31st at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to start the recording for the New Year's Eve show. It'll run basically 26 hours, so around 7 a.m. You know what? I'm just going to keep... I got to go. I got inventory on the first, so it's going to just keep running until I get fucking home. And then I'll just edit out the rest of it and whatever it is. So the recording will probably run until about 2 p.m. the next day on January 1st. Well, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, somewhere thereabouts. So,
and that's 11 a.m. UTC to all of our forum
there you go. Out there. Yep. Yep. Check out hackerpublicradio.org for all the server details. There will be a stream up. I got to test the stuff. I would have tested it tonight, but now I'm going to go to bed. But there will be a stream. There will be, server details. It'll be basically a Delwyn's old server, so the one we use to connect to here. Just go there and go into the Hacker Public Radio mumble room. All right. Denny, you want to play the music out this time?
Sure, I can do that.
I'm trying not to cut it off before you play the music.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Oh my god, is it over yet?
Almost. Linux everybody's got to get in there.
Linux is amazing.
Good night, everybody. There's no Danny in there.
I know. What do you know? Oh, well.
Solar Babies.
Solar Babies.
Yes, you have to watch the movie Solar Babies.
Nobody should watch the movie Solar Babies.
Everyone should watch the movie Solar Babies twice.
Yeah, well. I would... Anyway, I hope you and Jackie and all of the mini shorts have a great Christmas season, I'm going to be real quiet this year.
We're going to try. We got the tree up. I'm supposed to put out the projector tonight, I think. And then we might watch White Christmas tomorrow, because we always watch White Christmas.
Stop there. Huh? Go ahead. I'm trying to get Jitsi to work right.
Oh.
Stopping the recording because I opened it in Firefox and I forgot that Firefox sucks with Jitsi because I couldn't see y'all's video. I was like, what the heck is going on?
And you're not muted in Jitsi either.
I know. I will be.
Once I get it.
Damn it. I'm going to have to stop it in Firefox, it looks like.
Yeah, we have to figure out how many presents we still need to get. So we got to wrap all the presents and get it organized and see from there. I have to find where I put all the gifts that I got, Jackie. I'm probably still going to be finding shit in July, honestly.
There we go.
Open line with the ABC special.
Oh. Chromium. There we go. Start recording. Settings. What? Hang on, I'm gonna end this meeting. Are y'all still seeing Jitsi?
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna end it for everybody. Keep forgetting to start it in Chromium. There we go. Now I can log in.
Well, what happened was Danny messed up the Jitsi, so he's restarting it. Oh, I unmuted there, not muted. Whoops.
Okay, it's back up. I didn't have admin rights. Why that was, I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, I was logged in with my name, but not my password for some reason.
And you're still unmuted.
I didn't log in as an admin, so don't blame me.
Okay, there we go. Now, because you know, when you go in,
you gotta mute and Jitsi.
I will. Hang on. Now I can see everybody follows me within moderator. I couldn't see that before. I was like, "What is going on?" Okay. Now, all right. Test. 1, 2, 3. Test. 1, 2, 3. Ha ha ha. Test.
I'm gonna have Lords of Acid stuck in my head now.
Okay, now Jitsi is muted. Everything's good. Did y'all watch the movie?
Yeah.
What?
That was a good band. I don't remember the show.
Nope, you wouldn't.
Well, you went to the Lords of Acid concert?
Do you guys know LCD Sound System?
No.
No.
I think they're an old band.
Do you know a band called LCD Sound System?
I heard one of their songs today. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Let me look at it. Wikipedia. Oh, 2002. Not as old as I thought. Only 21 years old.
Old enough to drink.
Oh. But, well, when I think old band, I'm thinking 90s.
Who, what?
Whoever asked you for a ride.
You know, you're going to have to...
Who asked about LCD?
I did. I heard them today.
Do you listen to VAST, too?
Who?
VAST, Visual Audio Sensory Theater.
I don't even listen to LCD Sound System. I just heard them today. I thought they were pretty good. I got to mute myself because I got a phone call. Hang on.
I was all adjusting the volume because I couldn't hear Danny and he's all talking on the phone. Are we expecting anybody else? Morden, see, say whether or not he can make it.
I don't know.
Well, Morden, see, to use a football term, is out of position.
Has anybody heard from Morden, see?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, I've gotten an email from him, but he may be distracted.
Is he in the U.S. still, or is he traveling? Or
he's in Thailand.
He's in Thailand with his fiance. I suspect his priorities have been adjusted.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, man. Couldn't be happier. Well, I might be a little happier if I had a similar lady, but, you know. He's about due some good luck.
Yeah. All right, so, Honky, what have you been watching?
I completely forgot. I should write things down just so I can remember to say them. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Christmas movies. Started the second season of Sweet Home. Have you watched any of that?
No.
That's pretty good. Like some weird disease that's gone around that's just turning people randomly into monsters. Was that? It's on Netflix. Let's see. I watched the movie. I watched a show called Louder Milk. That was really good. Can't think of anything. I know I've watched more stuff. I just can't think of it. What about you?
Well, we watched or rewatched Violent Night. What else did we watch?
We watched The Grinches with JC.
Well, we watched A Christmas Carol, the new one on Netflix. Or musical. From last year, a musical one. That was good. I binge-watched the first season and part of the second season of Heroes. I'd never watched that before, so...
Well, the first season was really good.
Yeah.
It's like the second season wasn't bad, but it just kind of slowly went downhill after that.
The second season is slower, that's for sure.
Yeah. The first season was really good because it had, like, purpose. You know, it was that whole save the cheerleader, save the world thing. Right. And then after that, it was kind of like, okay, now what?
Right. Well, I know today, as a matter of fact... Reacher season 2 became available, so I will be watching that.
Yeah, it's a weekly drop too, so that sucks.
Oh, is it? That sucks.
Yeah,
that sucks hard. I'll wait then.
Yeah, I've watched half of the first episode because I've been waiting for it. But
well, I got 2 episodes of Quantum Leap that I haven't watched yet. 2 episodes of Rick and Morty that I haven't watched yet. 2 Doctor Who specials that I'll be watching this weekend. Me and Jackie were probably going to sit down and watch season 2 of Invincible. Season 2 of What If dropped a trailer.
Is it out, though?
No. And then the Batman Christmas special, which looks absolutely horrendous, and my wife is going to subject me to whether I like it or not.
Oh, that Bat Boy or Bat...
Damien, like a really crappy version of Damien.
Like the newest Teen Titans.
Yeah, it looks like Teen Titans Go.
It looked worse than that, I thought.
Yeah. Or whatever came after Teen Titans Go that was really horrible.
There was something after Teen Titans Go? Merry Little Batman.
Yeah, it looked like garbage, honestly. The artwork is crap.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, really dislike what they did to Damien, because Damien, you know, right out of... You know, the day one, he was a badass, and they're making it seem like he knows nothing, and I don't even know.
It's on...
He wrote Damien taking over the Batman Beyond and in the Guinness, which pisses me off.
Yeah.
I watched the new Into the Spider-Verse movie, whatever, I forgot what the hell that one was called, the beginning of the two-parter.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Yeah, it was only half a movie, though.
Yeah, which sucks. I think that's why it sucks, is because I didn't like the fact that it was only half a movie.
Yeah. And I just don't seem to be as excited about the 2 Doctor Who specials as I would normally be, but I don't know.
They're on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, there's a big collaboration. There's a whole new company specifically made for creating and growing the Doctor Who universe. And the next season of Doctor Who with that guy whose name I can't pronounce right this second. He's going to be like season one, episode one. So they're restarting the numbering instead of continuing the numbering from the original series, which is what, you know, they were doing previously.
So did Disney buy up the rights for Doctor Who and then they're going to try to pull like what they did with Marvel?
Like Sony purchased a bunch of the rights and then like Disney has the broadcast rights. So the rights are a little all over the place, but they are planning on doing a lot of like sideshows and just expansion stuff. And currently, you know, there's Well, there's two iterations of David Tennant out there right now. And then there's three doctors total out there right now.
Wait. Sounds a little confusing.
It is, because you got to remember, one of them is technically human and living with Rose in the alternate dimension. And then one of them is split off from himself in the most recent special, and that's how they got two doctors right now and two TARDISes. So let me see if I can find the information on what they're doing to the company.
I had heard that some of the stuff from the British produced Doctor was going over, like the Titanic plus more eyes.
Yeah, some of the stuff that they're doing is obviously pissing a lot of people off. They're really leaning into that whole, I don't really want to say woke, but definitely woke. I mean, yeah, I was fine with the doctor turning into a woman, but now they're having it be a gay black man, and they had Donna's kid be transgender, and you know, each portion of that is okay, but you start shoving all of that together and it's just like, we're woke for the sake of woke here, people.
The Captain of America problem.
Yeah,
I mean, and everybody seemed to have forgotten Black Widow, which was, you know, that was a kick-ass female character, but it was a character that you could believe in and had some depth. It wasn't just a campaign slogan.
Yeah, I agree, but with the movie itself, it was really, really a matter of timing that just undercut that movie so heavily. I mean, by the time it was released, there were, you know, other later movies that showed that the character was already dead, so a lot of people just weren't invested in the character anymore.
Well, I never saw the movie Black Widow was in, but I mean, you know, I saw the other Marvels, but I never saw the Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
So I'm using the character as a template more than remembering the Black Widow movie, although I wouldn't mind seeing that. Heck, I've never seen the entire Forrest Gump either. I should probably see that to fill in a bucket list slot.
Hmm.
I just recently found out why Forrest Gump talks the way he does.
Why's that?
They pulled in a young kid from deepest Mississippi, and he had a very deep, slow drawl like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Hanks was there. They were talking to him, and
He says, "What does your dad do?" He makes grease. You know. Petroleum worker. And he was talking that slow way and everything. And then one of the producers says he can't talk right. And Tom Hanks says, "Why make him talk different? Why don't I talk like him?" And that's how they got that Forrest Gump slow drawl voice. So they had the old adult Forrest Gump talk like the actor who was doing the younger Forrest Gump.
Mm.
It was also Tom Hanks realizing that he would have an easier job learning how the kid spoke than the kid would have learning how he spoke.
Well, Danny, what have you been watching? Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes. Anyway, I've been watching a pretty good documentary on HBO. I finished it, called Love Has Won. It's about this cult of Mother God, who it's a three-part series, and she's from here, from Dallas, and she grew up here, and she lived with her parents and was running a McDonald's, and became a manager and had her own store when she was really young, and she started getting online and getting into all this like spiritual crystal magic bullshit. And she thought she was like God reincarnated, and she started a cult and had all these people follow her and moved to Oregon and California. And anyway, it is crazy. I recommend it. It's called Love Has Won. And they're still around today, even though she's dead. The cult is still around. But it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it, like in the, you know, mid-2000s, I guess, when it started. And then did you know that Aqua Teen made a new season this year? Yeah, there's a whole new season of Aqua Teen out this year. So anyway, I watched some of that. I watched a few movies. Oh, I saw a picture of Dorian Gray. Have you guys ever seen that? It's kind of a horror movie.
I've seen League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Well, this came out in the 40s. It's like you probably know the story of Dorian Gray. He's been in other movies, you know, where he stays the same age, but the picture of him ages and stuff. So it was actually really good. Have you seen that, Netminer? Picture of Dorian Gray?
I don't believe. Well, I may have seen pieces of it over the years, but yeah,
it's good.
It's one of those classics.
Yeah, it's a classic. It was good. And then, I don't know, I watched some... Oh, I think we talked about on... in Matrix... What were we talking about in Matrix? Wrestling movies or movies with wrestlers or...
Athlete crossovers, wrestlers, yeah.
What movie did I say that started?
It was some movie with Shaq, though, that you saw.
Oh, Steel. Yeah, Steel, I saw that's Steel. Right. Steel. Have y'all seen Steel?
I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes, I've seen Steel. And I also saw Kazam.
Kazam.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that one time. Yet. Which one is better, Kazam or Steel? I enjoyed Steel.
Steel was a little bit more serious and a little bit more enjoyable. Honestly, both movies are okay for being complete and total garbage.
They're not that bad. It doesn't deserve a 3 on IMDb for sure.
Dude, that movie's pretty rough.
Steel. Or Kazam?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I thought Steel was enjoyable, even though it was predictable, and Shaq is charming, even though he's a bad actor.
You ever tried to... Well, where did you watch it?
On Tubi?
I'm going to have to check, because I've looked for that movie a couple of times and haven't been able to re-find it since forever ago.
Yeah, they just recommended it to me, and I was like, huh.
Who was that guy who made all the B-movies?
Ed Wood?
Ed Wood, yeah.
Now, those are truly bad movies, you know, but I still have, I don't know, like nostalgia for them maybe, or they hold a soft spot in my heart. It's because they're so sincere, you know. He was trying to make a movie, even though he didn't know how.
Well, yeah, it reminds, well, let's face it, if you look at the classic Godzillas, I mean, their special effects and everything shows, you know, pretty raw, but they were trying, they were doing the best they could with the tech of the time.
Everybody yeah. I've talked to that has seen Godzilla Minus One, which is, you know, this year, of course, says it's really awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I haven't liked any of the... I didn't like that one with Heisenberg in it.
This isn't related to any of the modern ones where they're building out a monster universe. This is basically based on, like, the original one.
Is it? Okay. So yeah. they actually show the monsters then?
From what Dan was saying, they show the monster from the perspective of, like, people.
Well, that's fine. As long as you see them.
I don't know what you see.
It's supposed to be, like, super, like, they did a lot with, like, a really little budget, too, comparatively to other movies, from what I heard.
Because I really like that Japanese, that new Japanese, newer Japanese one, Shin Godzilla. Have y'all seen that one?
Not yet.
I actually went out of my way to find Shin Ultraman, which led me to see that there was a Shin Godzilla, but I have not watched either one of them yet.
It's good. I liked it. It's a lot more in common with the original Godzilla than whatever that was with Heisenberg crying in it.
Mm. Have you watched Shin Ultraman?
Because no, I haven't. Good things about that
too. I haven't watched it yet.
I should check it out.
But I'll probably wait till after Christmas to try and. I usually don't have to twist the wife's arm all that much to watch a different Godzilla movie, so she might watch Shin Godzilla with me.
Now, has anybody seen that Monarch show on Apple TV? About the group that controls all the monsters and stuff. Supposedly, that's supposed. It's like Shield.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, it's like Shield, but for Gaijins, or not Gaijins. What is it called?
Kaijus.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. My coworker watches it. He says it's kind of boring, but it's okay. And I've been playing some games too that aren't really Linux related, so I'll mention them now. I just finished a PlayStation 2 game called Shadow Hearts. It was a lot of fun. It's a Japanese RPG. Another PlayStation game I just started called Wild Arms. You guys ever remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I played that.
Yeah. This is the remake of the Super Nintendo Wild Arms, but it's for PlayStation 2, and it's all in 3D. It's called Wild Arms Ultra Code F, and it is a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying that one. So,
which one was Wild Arms?
They have guns. It's a Japanese RPG, but they actually have guns. I tried playing the first one on the PlayStation 2 before the reboot called Wild Arms 3, but something was wrong with the game I had. It wouldn't play, so... But Wild Arms was supposed to be a big hit on the Super Nintendo, and then I guess Wild Arms 2, and then Wild Arms 3, or was it Wild Arms 2 that came to PlayStation, or I don't remember. Anyway.
I think I played the first one on the original PlayStation.
Okay, that's
way back.
Yeah, so they did a reboot of that and called it Ultra Code F, and it's for the PlayStation 2, and it was a lot of fun.
There's one old game that I do want to play that I don't know if it... Cause I haven't seen a lot of, like, original Xbox emulators, but I want to play Crimson Skies High Road to Redemption.
I want to play that, too, Crimson Skies. I don't know if it's that particular one, but I've just heard the series is great.
Or High Road to Revenge, that's what it is.
That's a series, isn't it?
There were a couple of games, but I think only one of them came out for the Xbox, and like a completely different game came out for PC, which was, Crimson Skies came out for the PC, but Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge came out for the Xbox.
Now, why is the Xbox so notorious as far as aren't it hard to emulate?
I don't know if it's hard to emulate. I just haven't seen a whole lot of emulators for it.
I think. Well, I've always heard that. Like, It's
well, the PS1 is supposed to be really hard. The Nintendo 64 is like all over the place when it comes to emulation, and that's even older. So
I just heard the Xbox was like hard to emulate for, which it seems weird since it's isn't it just a regular Intel like a desktop CPU in there?
I'm not sure. I don't know why. Hold on, Xbox emulation. So there is an emulator. It's called Zemu, X-E-M-U, original Xbox emulator. Why does it seem like Xbox emulation is so far behind? Let me click on that.
Show notes. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Do you guys remember what some of the big hits were for the original Xbox?
Fate.
Oh, yeah. Morrowind,
Fate
too,
2.
Right?
Yeah. Morrowind, Elder Scrolls, I think it was 3, is Morrowind, right?
Yeah. Fable?
That's Fable. That's the one I'm thinking of, not Fate. Fable 1 and 2.
What was the one that had the giant controller where you operate mechs?
A Mech Warrior?
Is that what it's called?
I don't remember the controllers, but I do remember that there was also the arcade version of Mech Warrior where you went in and like sat down and were in a mech and could actually like launch missiles and then control the missiles while they're flying through the air.
Yeah, it had like a button for everything.
Yeah.
What about that Blood Rain? Remember that? They made a movie too?
Yeah.
The vampire girl. Yeah.
I don't know if that was exclusive to the Xbox. I think that was on PS2 as well.
Halo, San Andreas.
How could I forget about Halo?
Right. Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind. I'm looking at the most popular ones. Halo 2, Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, I still play that on my phone.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Fable, Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Burnout 3.
Ninja Gaiden, I remember that.
Crimson Skies is one of the most popular ones. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
That's right. And they had a PSP version of that too, right?
Ooh, all the Tom Clancy Splinter Cell games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Counter-Strike, Dead or Alive 3, Mech Assault is what
Mech Assault
was called.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gears of War didn't come out till later, right?
I'm not seeing it on the list here.
Wasn't that
Rainbow
on 360?
That was a 360.
Oh, the Tom Clancy game.
Grand Theft Auto 3. Star Wars Battlefront. Need for Speed Underground. Oddworld. Half-Life. Doom 3.
Yeah, I think those are on other platforms, too, though. I'm trying to think of the Xbox exclusives. Didn't they have an RPG that was real popular?
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Like a JRPG.
Oh, Grand Theft Auto 6, yeah. Hey, did you guys catch the trailer for GTA 6?
I did. I think it looks cool. I think
it does, too. But people are still whining and crying, oh, you're killing cops. Oh, you're killing hookers.
You're not killing cops. You're not killing hookers. You're killing pixels. It's a fantasy land.
You're teaching kids to kill cops and steal cars. Don't let your kids play the games that are marked mature.
Now, who's winning between the newest Xbox and the PlayStation 5 right now?
Aren't they both, like, basically glorified PCs? No. The PS5 isn't quite a glorified PC. It does have an interchangeable CD tray, though, or you can play it digital, which is a massive improvement over all the ones before it. But isn't the Xbox, the newest Xbox, basically just a PC with a Xbox operating system?
Probably.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. They're all computers. But I don't know.
Well, I haven't bought a console. Well, besides the Steam Deck, I haven't bought a console in... Good God.
Steel Battalion, that was the one with the giant controller.
So let me ask you, does your Steam Deck collect a lot of dust?
No.
Okay. You use it a lot?
I've been using it a lot lately, yeah.
Okay.
The Chronicles of Riddick?
Yeah, I saw that on the list. Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2,
Jet Set Radio Future. What about that?
Oh, I loved that game.
It was fun.
But that was on the Xbox?
Yeah, that was Xbox exclusive.
Really? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I dug that game.
Jade Empire, remember that one? BioWare game?
Yep, I do remember that one.
I played a lot
of Dynasty Splinter Cell. Was Dynasty Warrior on those?
Shinmu 2. Dynasty Heroes? That was PS2.
Dynasty Warriors.
Was that a fighter?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was like
basically
a
you
giant
versus...
battlefield fighter.
Yes.
Yeah, that was still PS2. Have my copy of Crimson Skies somewhere. I think my Xbox quit working.
I like Pong.
Pong, yeah, that's a good one. That's a little older than what we're talking about. But... Oh, Lovecraft, now we got you on the talk about Tony. So he said he would be hopefully out before Christmas.
That's what he was hoping. I sent him another couple of texts this week and didn't get a response, so I didn't want to bug him too much more. But yeah, he was in a rehab center, trying to get him back to full strength walking and stuff like that.
Yeah, back surgery, right?
Technically, I think it was like neck and back. So
like spine.
Yeah, and it sounded like he was having a little bit of trouble with his arm still, and getting him up and walking with a walker. So I guess he was having a little bit of a mobility issue.
So is he living with you now?
not yet. He's actually right down the street in the other direction now. So he's probably about 2.5 miles away the other way, rather than like 1 mile the other direction.
Would your wife be okay with that if he just moved in? And
I could probably hide him away in the garage.
But what if she's the one that had to do the rehab and like move him around? And
he'd be in a world of hurt then.
That would be cool. He can come stay with me, but it's kind of a long ways away.
His nurse was yelling at him when I talked to him briefly on the phone.
Really?
Yeah, it's not like she was giving him the business about not doing something right, and I was like, yeah.
He was getting fresh with her.
Maybe.
Yeah. He said, Tony, I told you, you're not doing it right. I can't feel it like I want.
Yeah, I sent him a message. I'm like, yeah, man, if you need me to drop by and like drop off some, you know, something to eat or, you know, 12-pack or something for you, you know, let me know.
Yeah, we miss him. Miss his presence. Yeah, I don't know if he could figure out the Android app or not. Moomla, is that what it's called?
Yeah. I sent him like a screenshot of it and like a link to it, and you know, I told him if he wanted to, you know, test it out and stuff like that, I could work with him and try it out before the show or something, even if he just wanted to listen. But I guess he's got other stuff on his mind.
Yeah. Well,
hopefully he gets home before Christmas at least. You know, just be a you know, he's been away for a while, so it'd be nice to just get back home for him, I'm sure.
So Rich and Matrix said that Jason Momoa used to be a wrestler. I didn't know that.
I did not either, no. I think we're talking about the first I think I mentioned I ever saw him was on Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, that's the first time I saw him. What year was that? Do you remember?
No idea.
You guys' memories are just as bad as mine.
Some days worse.
Yeah, have you watched anything, Lovecraft?
2004 to 2009 was Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah.
Okay. What did he wrestle for before, though? Was it WWE?
I don't know.
I remember seeing him on that.
I don't think he said. I think he just said he came from a wrestling background.
Let's see. What was his wrestling name?
Jason Momoa.
No, Prince.
Career. Didn't say anything about wrestler. Is he sure about that? He was a wrestler? I don't remember him being a wrestler. It says his early career was he auditioned for Baywatch Hawaii, in which he was cast as Jason Ione. When he was 19 years old. Man, imagine being 19 and being on Baywatch with all those hot chicks. You didn't control yourself. You'd just be jizzing all over the place.
And then Johnson Family Vacation, Stargate Atlantis, cast as Roman in The Game, Conan the Barbarian. Oh, remember that? I forgot about that.
Yeah, the Conan movie. Yeah,
that should have never been made. And then he was, of course, Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones. The rest is, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about him being a wrestler. I'm going to talk to Rich about this. What are you talking about?
Yeah, fact check him, you know.
Yeah, put him on blast. I'm going to get his address and dox him. He said Jason Wall was another successful wrestling crossover. I'm sure this isn't Tony. Is going by Rich, SPK, Matrix. Because Tony also said that about that weird thing about the Mint cast. You know, geez, that was really strange.
Momoa learned martial arts for his role as Ronan in Stargate Atlantis. In 2017, Momoa started practicing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Frontier, did y'all ever see that on Discovery Channel? Mm-hmm. They played the lead role in that. An Apple TV science fiction series called Sea. Aquaman, of course. Oh, yeah, he was in Dune.
Oh, yeah, Sea is awesome. I haven't watched the last season of that, but yeah, it's really good.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. I've mentioned it on this show before.
I don't listen to the show. It's boring.
Don't even listen to the show when you're on the show.
I know it. I'm just sitting here eating peanuts. Where's Mortensen? Oh, shit. I forgot.
Yeah, you're right. You really don't listen to the show.
That's just my memory. Maybe he'll pop in. Let me message him on Matrix.
What time is it over there?
13 hours ahead.
Yeah. Also, anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if he's busy for the next little while.
Yeah, he's probably got to unpack and all that stuff.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
I go grocery
shopping.
Unpacking. Did my cardio yesterday.
What was her name?
Elliptical. I've been trying to stay consistent with it.
Yeah, I need to start doing more cardio.
30, you should be doing 150 minutes a week, they say.
That's what they say.
I got this app on my phone that annoys me with an alarm if I'm not doing it.
Let's get up, fat ass.
Mm-hmm. Start moving around. I like the elliptical because it's not hard on my knees, you know, like there's no impact or anything. And they have programs. I used the one at my apartment complex at the fitness center. They have programs where you can do like hills and mountains or just do straight. And you can go backwards. Pretty cool. I know this is very interesting to everybody.
Oh, have you done it in VR?
No. Do they have that in VR?
They used to have like you could do like a bike ride in VR. That was back when, you know, you were still putting your phone into the headsets.
Google Cardboard?
Yeah.
See, I don't want to block off my site because it's a public space. Like somebody might come in there and just knife me in the spine or something.
I would.
But I do need something.
Is that just a general fear for you that somebody's just going to wander in and just knife you in the spine?
If my ears, my eyes are covered up, you know, I can't. It might as well be death. Might as well be fucking Helen Keller in there doing my workout. You know.
Do you keep like a knife or something on you at all times because you have a great fear that someone's just going to randomly wander in and just knife you in the spine?
He keeps a knife on him at all times because this is Texas.
I always have my pocket knife in my pocket. Exactly. I've never stabbed anybody ceviche? With it.
Is it the ceviche mini?
No, it's not ceviche. That's the raw fish from Mexico. It's a ceviche.
Ceviche, I'm sorry.
No, actually, today I carried a CJRB. I'll go get it, and I'll show you guys. Oh, I should do an unboxing on the show, too. I have something to unbox.
I don't understand the point of half these unboxing videos. You take shit out of a box. Why is that amusing?
Here it is. It's
what do you got?
Called CJRB. There. You can.
That's nice looking.
Yeah, it's a neat little.
It's got assist, like a, or is it just?
No, it's just got that newness to it. Left or right, and you could put the clip on either side if you're left-handed or right-handed, and it's just fun to play with. That's why I always have a knife, because I like fucking playing with it. You know, just hey.
Does your clips ever stay on? Mine always fall off. Yeah. Oh, mine always fall off.
But what does happen if I keep it in my right pocket? My seatbelt always hangs on it and then bends the clip out. I keep it in my left pocket.
You use
my knife?
No, yeah. Clip.
Oh, yeah. I keep it in my pocket with the clip. Mm-hmm.
Honky, that's what they make Loctite for.
Yeah. Look, I
literally.
Problem is, when it falls off, it just kind of goes, and it's gone.
You never see
it. The screws are gone.
It's not like, yeah, all the screws are gone. The thing is gone. It could go either way. It could be both. And it just, I never realized when it's happening, and it's just gone. And again, I don't really use it anyways, so it's not that big of a deal. When it goes in my pocket, it just goes in my pocket. I got, for work, I got like a little pouch type thing I use for work.
You have a box cutter?
No, actually, I use a Kershaw Brawler. It's a big-ass knife.
I've been using that for... Well, thanks to, you know, Fweeb, I started carrying those knives that you can put a disposable blade in.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of those floating around.
But didn't you 3D print a
I 3D hand? Printed some as well, and yeah. Those, you know, I used to open boxes and stuff. I have one still, like, right here on my workbench. And it's great for just, you know, quickly opening stuff up.
Yeah.
Oh, on the show notes at the bottom, for our next recording date, do you just want to mention the New Year's Eve show instead, or do you want to put January?
What? It'll be, what, January 4th, 5th?
It's going to be January 5th. You want to put that instead?
Yeah.
Okay.
January 5th. I might just put some information about the New Year's show in there. Go to hackerpublicradio.org and... All the details are there. I wanted to test the stream today, but the fucking laptop wasn't plugged into the right router. So unless I shut down my recording and restart the record and, you know, replug it in somewhere.
So this is the last Lugcast of 2023.
That's right.
And I'm going to have to leave you all for a few minutes. I need food. So
okay,
I'm going to hand you off to Jackie. It's like, go away, Joe. We don't want you here anyway.
It's 9, so wait, hang on 1 second. You want to start the show real quick since Joe's still here?
Sure.
It's already 9.
You gotta wait for him to write down the time before I start talking.
Oh my god,
it's Hacker
Public
Radio!
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org. Or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net/techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget, the two Dans. They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Blindridge, he's a bloody drunko.
If you don't like a gas, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it back.